think about the world that would exist with a Globo Homo empire, right? And you're Russia. What do you want to do if you're Russia? You want to play big power politics. For big power politics, your enemies have to be separated. They have to be individually weak. They have to be unable or unwilling to help each other. And they also have to believe that the way of the world is big power politics. No, we need to be America first. We can't help Europe. We don't want anything to do with trading with the rest of the world. We want to take over people in our own backyard. We want to go to South America. We just put out an arrest warrant for fucking Maduro for child trafficking. What, does Trump know the kid firsthand? A video essayist like, would look at this workload in a month and would kill themselves.
Dude, video essays do this in a fucking year. Just what he does in a fucking month.
No, like, yeah, longer insane. Than that. Like, a month or two would be the work into one of these videos. But I even go like 4 weeks ago. Yeah, 40 minutes, 41 minutes, 38 minutes, 38 minutes, 42 minutes, 39 minutes, 35. Like, this is all in 1 month. What is that, 13 videos that are like 30 or 40 minutes in length? And they're all like art, quote unquote, high quality. They're all AI generated, but are they all Caleb Hammer's voice?
Gross income, the taxable earnings of the people who left, or they gained $20.6 billion in taxes, $5 billion.
Do you actually have any factual disagreement, or is this just Asmongold vibe slop? The fact that a foreign company would pay an American YouTuber to create videos that he has no scripting control over to stoke divisions in our neighbor to the north, if you don't see a problem with that, I can't communicate to you, okay? There are probably several medications that you would have to take first for us to even inhabit the same plane of existence. I'm sorry, buddy.
Very little comes back. How much? Estimates vary. A credible analyst put Alberta's net contribution to the rest of Canada at somewhere between $15 and $27 billion per year.
And this, they get basically nothing back.
Subject matter can be hard to digest. But
we have an ad in the ad! Holy! Is this like a quadruple dip? What happens when a central government uses and abuses a group of its people? They leave, or even more extreme, they join us. There is a legitimate chance Alberta may vote for independence and join the U.S. Talk about a worst-case scenario. We should go to war with Canada. If Canada were to try to offload Alberta onto us, we should go to war with Canada and force them to retake it, like Egypt did with the Palestinians and Israel. We do not want Alberta. Keep it.
In January 2026.
Alabama.
Keep it.
A group of Albertans walked into the United States State Department in Washington, D.C.
Why are they doing politics videos now? Oh, man.
They weren't tourists. They weren't diplomats. They were separatists. Citizens of a Canadian province who wanted to talk about something that would have been unthinkable 10 years ago. They wanted to discuss what it would look like if Alberta left Canada and joined the United States. The group was led by Mitch Sylvester. Thinkable 10 years ago. They wanted to discuss what it would look like if Alberta left Canada and joined the United States. The group was led by Mitch Sylvester, CEO of something called the Alberta Prosperity Project.
And I don't think this is I think Albertans have been fucking crying about this random bullshit. I feel like this was a talking point around the COVID time too. It's just not like a serious, just nobody takes it seriously. I doubt it's being taken seriously, like that much more seriously right now. Also, I'm pretty sure Quebec would actually fucking revolt if somebody else managed to secede from Canada before them.
According to reports, they floated some wild numbers. Hypothetical credit lines of $500 billion, half a trillion dollars, to help a Canadian province transition to an American state. The group was led by Mitch Sylvester, CEO of something called the Alberta Prosperity Project. And according to reports, they floated some wild numbers. Hypothetical credit lines of 500...
What? No, stop.
$1 billion, half a trillion dollars, to help a Canadian province transition to an American state. When the word got out, the premier of British Columbia, David Eby, called it treason. Ontario's Doug Ford called it unacceptable and unethical. Even former prime ministers, Jean Chrétien and Stephen Harper, two guys who agree on almost nothing, both came out and said, this cannot happen. But here's the part nobody was really talking about. Back in Alberta, at community halls in Red Deer and Eckville, and small towns across the province, people were lining up. Not dozens, hundreds. Sometimes lined up around the building and out the door. They were signing a petition, an official government-sanctioned petition, that if it hits 177,732 signatures by May 2026, will force a province-wide vote on one question. Do you agree that the province of Alberta shall become a sovereign country and cease to be a province in Canada? Now, does that mean Alberta is actually going to leave? Probably not. Polls say 2/3 of Albertans would vote to stay, but the fact that we're even here, the fact that a petition like this exists, that people are lining up to...
Doesn't the fact that it's even possible say something about where we are today?
Sign it, that a provincial government lowered the barriers to make it easier, that American officials took the meeting, that tells you something much bigger is going
on. Sure.
Went on. Something that's been building for over 100 years. To understand why Alberta is angry, you have to understand how Alberta was born. Because the story starts with a land grab. In 1868, the Canadian government bought the entire Northwest Territories from the Hudson's Bay Company. They didn't ask a single person living there. Not the indigenous people, not the settlers, nobody. Canada bought the land to keep America from claiming it. That was the whole reason. Fast forward to the early 1900s. The territory's leader, a guy named Frederick Houghton, petitioned Ottawa for provincial status. He had a plan. One big western province he wanted to call Buffalo. It would have been massive, powerful, a real counterweight to Ontario and Quebec. And that's exactly why it didn't happen. Prime Minister Wilfrid Laurier took one look at Houghton's plan and said no. He split the territory in two, Alberta and Saskatchewan, in 1905. And then he did something that set the tone for the next century. He denied both new provinces control over their own natural resources. Every other province in Canada had that right. It was written into the original constitution. The British and North American resources. Every other province in Canada.
Wait, did they used to call them provinces? Or do you mean province?
I had that right.
Why watch this bot slot? This is literally Caleb Hammer reading this script.
It was written into the original constitution, the British and North America Act of 1867. But Alberta and Saskatchewan, they were told Ottawa needed to manage their land to promote immigration and settlement. The Calgary Herald ran a headline calling it autonomy that insults the West. Alberta wouldn't get control of its own resources until 1930, 25 years after becoming a province.
Wow.
And by then, the damage was done. The pattern had been set. Ottawa decides, Alberta obeys. And here's where it gets interesting. The people who built Alberta were not the same people who built Toronto or Montreal. Eastern Canada.
Bruh! We're Russia now! This is like the United States. This is like some Russian shit. If you're American, okay, you don't understand. This is like some shit you would hear if you're like in fucking Bongerland and there's some weird fucking dude in like Ireland doing like an anti-UK video for why the United Kingdom needs to separate itself or whatever, and the guy's getting paid by Russia Today. This is, we're doing it. Now that's us, the United States.
Well, CBC literally did a video on, there's a lot of people making like fake accounts and shit to do, or not fake accounts, making a bunch of like different YouTube accounts to do basically propaganda.
Oh, Dutch YouTube creators behind Alberta separatist videos getting millions of views. CBC/Radio Canada investigation reveals Netherlands accounts hired voice actors to front faceless channels. People based in the Netherlands are behind several YouTube channels to promote Alberta separatism, but are fronted by hired actors, according to the investigation by CBC News' visual investigation team. CBC News identified three individuals in the Netherlands whose digital trail links them to accounts that hired actors to appear on the YouTube channels. Two of them attended the same online course that teaches customers how to create faceless YouTube channels that generate passive income for the creators who remain in the shadows. The real question is, who wrote the script? Because Caleb absolutely didn't. And how much is he getting paid? Because he's not just doing a random faceless channel. Oh my God, dude. And this is so amazing because he doesn't have to do any compliant. He doesn't have to register as a foreign agent or anything for Canada because he's not even fucking Canadian, bro.
Nope. No, this is
crazy.
Really weird video.
Yeah, because he's promoting this on his main YouTube and everything. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, this is like, and CBC doesn't like know exactly who's like, you
how
know,
would they
pulling the strings behind the
I mean,
this,
he's an American YouTuber that could be getting paid by a fucking Russian company.
Yeah.
It's whatever they can investigate. You have no legal authority to do anything about it. That's crazy. That's insane.
Yeah, it's insane. And he's not calling it an ad either, is he?
No, but I don't think but you don't have to.
Sure, but you should.
You should, but nobody. This is like, again, this goes back to the reason why I fucking hate Taylor Lorenz's slop coverage on like shadow orgs and money and blah, 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 blah. I think that the disclosures related to all sorts of internet advertising shit are crazy. We have none. We have nothing. And people are just obsessed with, like, fucking super PACs or whatever, political organizations. Fuck political organizations. I don't give a fuck if you're a C4 or whatever. I think the weird thing is people who get paid a lot of money to sell an idea, and they don't even have to disclose they're getting paid. Never mind who's paying them. That's crazy to me. But nobody, there's not, like, enough, like, political partisan fighting on that shit, so nobody gives a fuck to actually talk about it. Ugh.
Canada attracted bankers.
Sorry, hold on. Many videos contain sensationalized misleading views of Canadian politics and are promoted through thumbnails featuring images of Alberta Premier. Yeah, I don't know if you guys... Fuck, I don't know how much I'm supposed to point this out. This is a pro-separatist video. I don't even know the history, but I know what propaganda looks like, and this is all propaganda. I'm sure there are always elements of truth, because by the way, whenever you want to tell a lie, I do know this at this point, if you want to tell a lie and you're a person in a country, look back to your history and find something to support your argument. You will always be able to ground whatever nationalistic, separatist, whatever move, you will always be able to ground it in some type of history. So like, the presentation, the backstory that we had of the history here was that the evil men of Ottawa forced some poor land to become a province and they stole their resources from them and didn't even let them have it and they split them in two so they couldn't even have representation. And even by the time they got the resources back, even by the time they got it back.
Cases, government oppression. Eastern Canada couldn't get control of its own resources until 1930.
And by that time, what do you say?
25 years after becoming a province. And by then, the damage was done.
Exactly, right. This is a propaganda video. Again, I'm sure there's like elements of truth to all of this, because it's never just a fucking lie. It's never just a lie, but...
Yeah, but this is insane for him to do. This motherfucker makes enough money, man.
That's true. This guy's making seven-figure... probably
he
gives
six ad reads, yeah, man, I know, in one video.
That's crazy. Damn. And you know he's getting paid... Because think about it from his perspective, right? Does he stream? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Because, like, look at the viewership. 79K, 118K, 37K, 142K on, like, high-effort scripted videos. So other people are writing the scripts, 100%, yeah. Right? But if I look at his channel, 3 million subs. Holy shit, we got tons of videos.
If he felt strongly about it, he would have put it on his channel.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, because this is what you have to think about it, okay? Mm-hmm. 3 days ago, Wait, is this a new thing on YouTube where you can't see the viewer count? Okay. 8 hours ago, 3 days, 5 days, 7 days. So every 2 or 3 days, he puts out a video. 360K views, 740K, 920K, 2 million, 900K, 1.1 million, 960K, 1 million, 1 million, right? For him to do a read of a video on this channel, if I had to guess, my guess is he's getting paid. My guess is at least 25K a video, which is, that's just, I don't know. That's just crazy to me that this would just be like an unannounced thing and also to promote it on his main Twitter. That's crazy.
Yep.
I wonder if they figure if they have any dollar amounts in this article. Because you have to think they have to pay him enough to make it worthwhile for him to
create a YouTube video. Randoms, and they were paying him like $100 just to do the voiceover.
Oh, sure.
Which obviously he would get paid for fucking way more. But.
Yeah. Identified 20 YouTube channels as part of a coordinated network focused on separatism in Western Canada provinces and other political issues. I can't believe it's so easy to just fuck up everything. Doesn't this break pretty much exactly what Tenet was? Yeah, this is like, but it's smarter than that. Because now I'm wondering, why the fuck did Tenet hire Americans ever?
Because just hire somebody else.
If Tenet would have just been Canadians, would they have gotten in any legal trouble at all? Because right now, I'm pretty sure every single thing here that Caleb is doing is completely above board and super legal. I don't think he has to report any of this. It's like, for what? What are Farah reporting standards, if you're not talking about your own country's politics, I actually don't know. I'm not sure. The report says many videos contain frequent and obvious lies, drawing on real news stories to reach exaggerated conclusions designed to exploit political divisions. The report did not identify the individuals behind the apparent network, citing a lack of identifying information to real humans or organizations, nor ties to the secession movement in Alberta. Wait, what is this? Mr. Mouton, this was over a year ago, too, by the way. It's been in the making for years. Oh, bro, listen, no hatred to my Canadian friends or whatever, but... Our Canada, in my personal opinion,
cooked.
That's been a racist shithole for years, bro.
Yeah, no, that's our Canada is an insane.
If you were like, oi, aren't Canadians like real fucking friendly people? I'm gonna go check out the Our Canada subreddit. You're gonna be fucking like, holy
these
shit.
Fucking Indians.
yeah, bro, I'm gonna fucking destroy this fucking country. Get the fuck out of here. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's insanely over the top how insane this fucking subreddit used to be. I don't know how it is anymore, but
no, it's still crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And then any Canada spun off subreddit, like Canadian housing, was a crazy one.
Yeah.
I don't know what
our
it's like
Toronto,
anymore.
Our Montreal, those are better subreddits, but like if you're in any of the big ones, yeah, those are fucked.
Thank you, Canada. Heart. Oh. Tenet Media. Okay, where were we? Sorry, hold on. Buddy Hoser is the normal one now. Gotcha. I think it's disturbing that these voices are able to insert themselves in the conversation, and their interest is not to further the democratic discourse or have a healthy, authentic conversation. They're putting themselves in the middle of that, misleading Albertans, Canadians, and they're doing so just to make money. I feel so violated. One of the accounts, the Canadian Politician, received more than 350,000 total views, according to the MEO report. The Canadian Politician. And you think it's like probably not even, it's like an American getting paid by a fucking Norwegian company?
There's a video on it too. Yeah, that was what most of it was.
Oh,
yeah.
Sheesh. I almost wondered when he said Alberta up here. If this was an AI reading it, because he sounded like he almost wanted to pronounce it like it was like Alberta.
Well, he doesn't know how to. Yeah, he doesn't know how to pronounce
when the word got out.
Which is funny.
Years ago, they wanted to discuss what it would look like if Alberta left Canada.
That was a weird thing. But this is me being nitpicky, but I don't know. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Damn. Barry provided CBC News with screenshots of his correspondence with the person who hired him on Upwork. The name used by the account is Dan Jurgers, and their profile states they are based in the Netherlands. Right. The conversation moved to Discord, where an account named Dan, shared several documents hosted on Google Docs with Barry. Yeah, so the videos will be about the same topics as these channels I sent you earlier are doing. Also, in the same line as the script I sent you is the sample, this is my channel. My preference will always be that you record the videos yourself, of course, but if there's ever a time you can't, for example, if you're sick on vacation or unavailable for some reason, I'd like the option to use AI. Ah, so we don't even know, it might not even be his voice. So today you can record, right? Here's the script, so you need to do the text. Sheesh. God, I hate how they're all fucking labeled. This is why I say it's all, a lot of the shit that I even use to describe myself is like fucking, like red flag language. One of the accounts identified by the Media Ecosystem Observatory report was Canadian Hub, which advertises itself as delivering straight talk, real context, and a clearer view of what's happening in Canada and the world. The channel is hosted by Paul Nichols, who is based in the U.S. King! Nichols told CBC News he agreed to be paid about $60 U.S. for the video. Oh my God. I'm in Indiana. I don't know anything about Canadian politics, said Nichols. I'm not going to do any more of these because I don't want to be a part of that. Oh.
He was just some voice actor on TikTok that they saw.
Jesus. You guys see shit like this and you think it's impossible that Lauren De Laguna is some foreign actor paid to destroy... I'm just kidding.
No, but I think the video that he did got like 300,000 views. So even if it's like a nobody, like some of these videos are hitting and then people are carrying forward the opinions. It's insane.
Of course, yeah.
Which is why I'm surprised Caleb, like they would, somebody you know would what? Even approach Caleb to do it.
Yeah. Do you know what would make it really hard for these videos to gain traction? Is if there was an algorithmically generated slot for you boxes that these things could just slide on into.
Toronto or Montreal. Eastern Canada. People who built Alberta were not the same people who built Toronto or Montreal.
Toronto. I don't even know what this is. Fucking accent is.
Eastern Canada attracted bankers, lawyers, industrialists, people plunging into established systems. Alberta attracted families from Ukraine, Romania, Hungary, the Netherlands, Germany, Scotland, China, Iceland. People who were leaving behind poverty, overcrowding, and in some cases, government oppression. African Americans came, Jewish families came, Mennonites and Mormons came. These weren't people looking for a government to take care of them. They were people running from governments that had failed them.
Holy shit! They're like rural people, small towners, good old boys escaping oppressive governments, and oh my God, that's kind of like Americans and like freedom and stuff. And like, who were the people in the East? Did he say Jews? Oh, I'm sorry, was it bankers and educated people in Toronto and Ottawa? True.
They built the culture.
Look at these guys. They've got fucking horses, bro. What bad guy do you know has a horse? Name one. Name one. None.
Okay. Of self-reliance, skepticism of central authority, and hard work. That cultural DNA.
Self-reliance? Decentralized authority, hard work. These are my type of people. The Canada Packers? They even have the NFL up there? Hell yes.
Oh, jeez.
Sheesh.
Still runs through Alberta today. Then, in 1947, a drill rig near the town of Leduc struck oil. And not just a little. Within 2 years, 12 new oil fields were discovered. Alberta went from a rural farming economy to an energy powerhouse almost overnight. But even with all that new wealth, the old frustrations didn't go away.
I bet even though they got all this new wealth that they should be entitled to by the sweat of their labor and the hard work, I bet that the bureaucrats in Eastern Canada still find a way to steal everything from these guys.
Rates and trade protectionism made it almost impossible for Alberta to diversify its economy. As historians put it, it was cheaper to ship live cattle to Ontario to be slaughtered than it was to ship Alberta beef east. The system was rigged to keep the West as a supplier of raw materials and the East as the manufacturer.
Look at how much Eastern Canada,
they're basically a slave state.
Eastern Canada has taken over Alberta. No! Fuck.
And everyone in Alberta knew it. If you talk to anyone in Alberta over the age of 50 about Ottawa, there's a good chance they'll bring up three letters, NEP.
Ooh.
The National Energy Program.
To do that, Finance Minister Alan McKechnie made clear tonight he'll use the same weapon as the former Conservative government, sharply increase oil prices to decrease oil use and encourage substitution to other energy sources, particularly natural gas.
Green energy? We should make a bingo board of all the fucking things or whatever. So now the lib fucks are using green energy, which is the gayest and most immoral of all energy sources, by the way. They're going to use green energy now to attack Alberta? I bet you somehow.
Windmills.
I bet they're going to find some way to force Alberta to follow their own goddamn green energy, or should I say gay energy restrictions, I bet. The new green scam.
But McKechnie indicated the most striking new departure in the energy program is its emphasis on a vastly expanded role for the federal government in the energy sector.
And more government? Always. Remember, these are people that were fleeing oppressive governments who just wanted to be decentralized and self-reliant on their own hard work.
Just cowboys.
Exactly.
This single most important policy in the history of Western Canadian alienation. And to this day, it's the real reason trust between Alberta and the federal government is so deeply broken.
Yes.
Here's what happened. It's 1980. Oil prices are sky high thanks to global crises.
Yeah.
Alberta is booming.
Which global crisis? Okay, just any of them. All of them. Okay.
Here's what happened. It's 1980. Oil prices are sky high thanks to global crises. Mm-hmm. Alberta is booming.
Yes.
Rigs are drilling. Money is flowing. The province is sitting on what it sees as its ticket to permanent prosperity.
That's amazing. I bet Alberta is about to fucking boom, bro. They're about to fucking take off. They have everything they need.
Ottawa's gonna hold them back.
They have everything they need.
And Pierre Trudeau, father of late Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, introduces the national...
Oh, you know he's gonna be a bad guy.
...energy program in October 1980. The stated goals were reasonable on paper. Energy security for Canada, more Canadian ownership of the oil industry, and a fair distribution of resource wealth across the country.
That's what they always say.
The reality was devastating. The NEP slapped a 25% federal tax rate on Alberta's oil.
Oh,
it capped prices well below world market rates. Alberta producers were suddenly getting paid roughly 50% less than their American competitors for the same product coming out of the same geological formations.
What?
The farmers!
The numbers tell this story. Unemployment surged 37%. Bankruptcies jumped 150%. An estimated $50 to $100 billion in story. Unemployment surged 37%.
Explain this for retards. Why is this stupid? I don't know enough Canadian history to tell you why, but the way that these types of propaganda things work is that basically you have a collection of facts and you're just telling one side of the story to make, like, I can tell you everything that's going to show up in this video because I already know it, okay? The classic divide that Russia wants to implement on the West is this divide between, on one side you've got like your rough and tumble, good old boys, hates gay people and trans weirdos, okay? The hard workers, the horseback riders, you're good salt of the earth men, okay? These are the guys that you send up on the Apollo space mining Armageddon mission, okay? These are the guys who, they just know how to get shit done. They're your real people, okay? Then on the other side, you've got the bad guys, okay? They like gay energy, gay people, gay government, okay? They want to get rid of all the oil. They want to make energy expensive so they can fuck over the salt of the earth men. So the only people that can afford it are the people who are eating bug soy all day and are living in high urban offices next to 50 million immigrants that are being brought in to be wage slaves for the Jewish government mastermind globo homo motherfuckers that are just trying to, I don't actually know what they're trying to do. Something really bad, I'm sure, though. The grand plot is always slightly obscured from us. And those are the people, the big bureaucrats. You never see them. They're never really named. It's the big government guy. You don't know how their policies get passed. Nobody votes for it. It's actually all rigged shit. And they're trying to take over and destroy everything that should be owed to the good, powerful, salt-of-the-earth cowboys, okay? That's what this entire video has been, and that's what the entire rest of the video is going to be. So every single big government thing is going to be bad. It's all the green stuff is going to be bad. I'm sure they'll find some way maybe to get social issues in here. But if they do, immigrants are going to be bad. Gay LGBT shit is going to be bad. Anything having to do with like federal whatever
trans
is going to be bad. Yeah, I already said, yeah, trans stuff. And then anytime it can have to do with like the people of Alberta, they're always going to be upstanding, moral. I'm sure at some point we'll get into COVID. I hope we can talk about Trudeau fucking over their bank accounts with the government trying to destroy them. And then maybe something good about Trump and MAGA. Maybe. I don't know if we'll go that far. Maybe not. Maybe not. That. Maybe not. But that's, yes.
Bankruptcies jumped 150%. An estimated $50 to $100 billion in investment, depending on which study you read, fled the province.
The fact that Destiny doesn't think the Russians are also doing the same thing but inverse is an issue. Putin had nightmares, okay, of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. If you think that there's any world where they would ever be pushing for Democrats, think about the world that would exist with a globo homo empire, right? And you're Russia. What do you want to do if you're Russia? You want to play big power politics. For big power politics, your enemies have to be separated. They have to be individually weak. They have to be unable or unwilling to help each other. And they also have to believe that the way of the world is big power politics. That's what you have for the world to function if you want to be a backyard bully, right? Well, if you have a United States who's saying gay shit like, oh, we should defend Ukraine. Oh, Russia can't invade other countries. Oh, we need to go and be the world police. No, that doesn't help you. You want a United States that's like, no, we need to be America first. We can't help Europe. We don't want anything to do with trading with the rest of the world. We want to take over people in our own backyard. We want to go to South America. We just put out an arrest warrant for fucking Maduro for child trafficking. What, does Trump know know the kid firsthand. You know, we want to go and depose leaders and do crazy shit on our own, right? Big power politics where you separate your enemies, you make them think they can't work together, you Brexit away. That absolutely had Russian involvement. Not saying it was the only reason, but for Russian involvement, Brexit wouldn't happen. But you Brexit away the United Kingdom from the European Union. You weaken the European Union's relationship with the United States. You weaken the United States' desire to do anything with their military alliance, NATO. All of these things that you're breaking up are helping you as a nation who is a friendless, fuckless nation virgin, because nobody wants to be a part of your shit anymore, okay? Nobody wants to, because the microsecond, what the saddest fucking dissolution of a country on the planet. If you would go back to 1970, 1980, and you were to ask all the people in the First and Second World, the Soviet Union dissolved in 91, and it was just like, oh my God, and it's like, holy shit, like, there must have been, like, civil wars all over the place, there must have been so much infighting ever. It's like, actually, no, every single satellite state was like, thank God, fuck that, and left. And that was it. That's basically it. That's all that happened. They were like, fuck this shit, I'm out. Russia loves this type of division. Right now, that division is exemplified in hyper-nationalist fucking losers, because you all have, like, a first grader's understanding of what it means to be strong and powerful. You think that it's when you attack every single person around you and you only represent your own selfish interests, and that's, like, the best thing you can do. And so that's, yeah. Sorry. That being said, I'm not going to lie. There would be a world where, if the left was stronger and Russia saw an opportunity to stoke division there, that Russia would help some type of left-wing causes. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if you found out that, we know that there was division that Russia was stoking in the 2016 election that was kind of sort of related to race-related issues in the United States. Now, it just so happened to be that they were telling black people not to vote for Hillary Clinton, or they were trying to get protest marchers saying that Hillary should be in jail and that she doesn't represent minorities because of the super criminal shit and everything from the 93 crime bill, you know. But Russia would support the left if they thought the left was stoking greater division as well. I'm sure they are happy to see people like Hassan Trader and all these other fucking weirdo MLs that are becoming more prominent in US media too. But okay. Anyway.
Jumped 150%. An estimated.
Remember what I said. Every single thing I said about this video will be true.
Nations. The numbers tell this story. Unemployment surged 37%. Bankruptcy.
He doesn't understand what I'm saying. I understand what you're saying. Russia does not prefer a political party. It's not like Russia is pro-MAGA and Destiny's a liberal, so Russia is his enemy. Russia just prefers to stoke division. If Russia thought that Trump was a huge favorite to win in 2016, Putin probably would have put a lot more effort into powering the Democratic side of the election, right? I'm not a retard, okay? What do you think, I'm MAGA?
This jumped 150%. An estimated $50 to $100 billion in investment, depending on which study you read, flooded the province. Drilling rigs were literally loaded onto trucks and driven south across the border to the United States,
what?
Where operators could get a fair price for their work. The social impact was brutal. Families lost homes, businesses closed, entire neighborhoods in Calgary and Edmonton emptied out. And the cultural impact was permanent. Bumper stickers appeared across the province. The most famous one read, "Let the Eastern bastards freeze in the dark."
Those bastards. Ottawa is like your Brussels. True.
Rallies drew thousands. In 1982, a separatist party called the Western Canada Concept won an actual by-election. The first time a separatist candidate has won a seat in Alberta's legislature. The NDP.
Damn.
He was eventually dismantled in 1984 when Brian Mulroney won the federal election, but it didn't matter. The wound was open, and in the 40-plus years since, it has never closed. Here's why the NDP matters so much to today's story. It created a template, a story that gets passed down, father to son, mother to daughter. The story goes, Ottawa will come for your money when it suits them, and there's nothing you can do about it. Every time the federal government introduces a carbon tax, blocks a pipeline, or puts an emissions cap on the oil sands, it doesn't matter what the specific policy is. In Alberta, it sounds like the NDP all over again. And if you think that's an exaggeration, consider this. Peter Lougheed, the premier who fought the NDP, who literally threatened to turn off the oil taps to Eastern Canada, is still considered one of the greatest political heroes in Alberta's history.
Consider this. Every time, I remember, because I've known people that lived in Edmonton, and anytime I would go to Edmonton, they would always talk about this guy. They've got, like, flags of him, signs of him. Girls will get him tattooed on their fucking tits. This guy is so fucking popular. They love this guy, okay?
Over again. And if you think that's an exaggeration, consider this. Peter Lougheed, the premier who fought the NDP, who literally threatened to turn off the oil taps to Eastern Canada, is still considered one of the greatest political heroes in Alberta's history. 40 years later, that's how deep this runs. After the NDP, a guy named Preston Manning started the Reform Party.
Political party. The Reform Association of Canada has been meeting in Vancouver over the weekend to discuss ways of increasing Western Canada's influence in Ottawa. Today, delegates decided the way to do that is with a new party. Party that gives the West and its problems top priority.
Okay. Not a separatist party, but a party built to give Western Canada a voice in Ottawa.
Yes.
It eventually merged into what's now the Conservative Party of Canada.
Yes!
While that pressure valve worked, Westerners felt heard. Stephen Harper and Albertan became prime.
Wait.
Canada. And for a while, that pressure valve worked. Westerners felt heard. Stephen Harper and Albertan became prime minister.
Wait, does he really pronounce his name that way? Wait, Mr. Chairman, what's Harper's first name? Stephen or Stephen?
I would assume it's Stephen.
You would assume, but you don't know. No, it's wrong?
No,
I'm not
fucking Canadian yet.
But that peace was temporary.
We will deliver on our commitments.
Money, money, money. Whew, now we're going to get to the real ones. The real troublemakers.
Alberta got fucked by a French guy.
No.
Let's talk about money, because this is where the anger goes from emotional to mathematical. Alberta is, by almost any measure, the richest province in Canada. Its GDP per capita, the amount of economic output per person, is at around 71,600 to 82,000 Canadian dollars.
Alberta should look like Tokyo if it wasn't for those Eastern Canadians. 100%.
Depending on how you measure it. The Canadian national average is roughly $55,000 Canadian dollars. Alberta beats the rest of the country by 30-60%. To put that in American terms, Alberta's per capita GDP is competitive with top U.S. energy states like Texas and North Dakota. At its peak in 2007, it was higher than every single American state. Oil production,
God damn,
has hit records. In 2025, Alberta was pumping over 4 million barrels per day, with oil sands alone producing about 3.6 million. Royalties brought in about $17 billion in the 2024-2025 fiscal year, the single largest source of provincial revenue, making up for more than 20% of the budget. Average weekly earnings in Alberta are the highest in Canada, about $1,347 to $1,376.
Look at those average weekly earnings. Look at Ontario, barely. What is this over here? Losers.
Quebec begging for
look
money.
At these losers. It's not even, they don't even list them all. Jesus. Just absolute dog shit fucking provinces, bro. It's not even fucking close.
Depending on the month. There's no provincial sales tax, just the 5% federal GST. The combined corporate tax rate, federal plus provincial, is 23%, the lowest in Canada. So by every metric, Alberta produced
low tax rates, less government, much better. Do you think cowboys want to fucking ride their horse into the fucking IRS?
Is more, earns more, and keeps less. Here's the math that makes Albertans furious. Canada has a program called equalization.
Guaranteed. This is going to be some bullshit where Eastern Canada steals from the good old people of Western Canada.
The idea behind it is simple. Richer provinces help fund services in poorer ones so that every Canadian gets roughly the same level of healthcare, education, and public services regardless of where they live. In principle, most people don't argue with that. In practice, Alberta hasn't received a single equalization payment since the 1960s. Meanwhile, the program has grown to about $27 billion per year, with most of it flowing to Quebec. Now, and this is important.
Really?
Quebec? Not surprising at all. Those fuckers, you know how many heart attacks they have eating all that fucking cheese over there?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Hey, hot take, all right? Why don't you guys fucking paint your fucking roads? You ever try to drive in Montreal? You know they don't put lines anywhere? You're just supposed to fucking look at the street and aim your car and go? Like, you're supposed to know where it's unbelievable. And no wonder these guys are getting in accidents and need all the healthcare fucking subsidies all day.
Equalization doesn't technically work as a direct transfer from Alberta to Quebec. The federal government collects taxes from everyone and redistributes through spending programs.
Yes.
But because Albertans earn more, they pay more in federal taxes.
Exactly.
And because Alberta doesn't receive equalization, the net effect is the same. Billions flow out, and very little comes back. How much? Estimates vary. A credible analyst put Alberta's net contribution to the rest of Canada as somewhere between $15 and $27 billion per year.
And they get basically nothing back.
Subject matter can be hard to digest. But
we have an ad in the ad! Holy! Is this like a quadruple dip?
Most Americans, their personal financial situation is the hardest subject to approach and manage, but with the Dollarwise budgeting app, you can finally take control, and since there's a free trial, you can see for yourself. Get a full picture, automate your budget.
Wait, is this his app? What? Wait.
She got a black.
No shot.
Someone was saying that this might be his channel.
It's
the summer budget reset is now live. Get a full year of Dollarwise Premium plus my 4 best selling educational courses and a digital copy of my budget friendly cookbook and my exclusive 30-day meal plan signed by me and mailed directly to you.
Oh my god. Let's fucking go, fam.
But with the Dollarwise budgeting app, you can finally take control, and since there's a free trial, you can see for yourself. Get a full picture, automate your budget, get powerful insights, and set real goals that change your life. Download Dollarwise or go to Dollarwise.com. One study estimated that between 2007 and 2024, Alberta sent a cumulative $244 to $285 billion or more to Ottawa than it got back. Let that sink in. $250 billion over 17 years. Now, Alberta does receive federal transfers, about $9.2 billion in 20.
Okay.
Of a cumulative $244 to $285 billion or more to Ottawa than it got back. Let that sink in.
Can I just say, this is the funniest pie graph I've literally ever seen in my entire life.
$1 trillion.
He just wanted to say that they sent $250 billion, but like $250 billion sounds good. But this pie graph doesn't actually represent anything. It just wants to represent $250 billion. But it's just like, well, if this was $1 trillion, then it would be a quarter of that graph. It's just not even like a...
Over 17 years. Now, Alberta does receive federal transfers, about $9.2 billion in 2026-2027, mostly for healthcare and... Now, Alberta does receive federal transfers, about $9.2 billion in 2026-2027, mostly for healthcare and social programs. But per capita, that works out to roughly 1,700...
It's his channel. He's been shilling it for a while now. Oh, front page is his channel. I do see CalebHammer.com here, but I don't see any pictures of him. Is he on a camera anywhere here? This is somebody paid him to create this.
$92.
And some AI or somebody makes the scripts. 100%.
For Alberta, which is less than what most other provinces receive. Separatists love to do a thought experiment. What if Alberta got to keep all of that money? What if it had built a sovereign wealth fund, like Norway did with its oil money? Norway set up its government pension fund in 1990 and now has over $1.7 trillion saved, the largest sovereign wealth fund on Earth. Alberta set up its heritage saving trust fund in 1976, 14 years earlier than Norway. Today, that fund has about $27 billion. $27 billion versus $1.7 trillion. Now, there are real reasons for the gap. Norway taxes its oil...
Wait, I'm late. Is Caleb making the slop? He's doing the voice acting for it. Some guy named Sergey in Moscow is writing this.
Oil industry much more heavily, the equivalent to about $87 per barrel compared to Alberta's roughly 12% royalty rate. Norwegian governments saved aggressively. Alberta governments use oil money to fund day-to-day spending and keep taxes low. And of course, Alberta sends billions to Ottawa every year that Norway doesn't send anywhere. But the comparison drives people in Alberta crazy because it feeds the core narrative. We could have been Norway. Instead, we funded everyone else.
Or it's an AI voice. I'm not sure.
There are the pipelines. Getting Alberta's oil to market has been a decades-long political fight. The Keystone XL pipeline to the U.S. Gulf Coast was killed by Presidents Obama and Biden. The Energy East pipeline, which would have carried Alberta's oil to eastern Canada, letting Canada actually use its own oil instead of importing it from Saudi Arabia, was canceled after years of regulatory delays and political opposition from Quebec. The Trans Mountain expansion, or TMX, did eventually get built, but only after the federal government literally bought the pipeline for $4.5 billion because no private company wanted to deal with the regulatory risk. True. It came in massively over budget. Every single one of these pipeline fights reinforced the same story in Alberta. Canada doesn't want our oil. Canada wants our money, but not our product.
What? The breaking point.
If the NEP planted the seeds and the pipeline wars watered them, the Justin Trudeau era was the sun.
Now the true...
There is.
Here we go. Here we go. Let's fucking go.
Trudeau won the federal election in 2015. Alberta braced for impact, and the hits came fast. Carbon pricing, new emissions regulations, comments about phasing out the oil sands.
I've said time and time again, and you're all tired of hearing me say it, you can't make a choice between what's good for the environment and what's good for the economy. We can't shut down the oil sands tomorrow. We need to phase them out. We need to manage the transition off of our dependence on fossil fuels. That is going to take time. And in the meantime, we have to manage that transition.
The cancellation of Energy East, federal environmental legislation, particularly the Impact Assembly Act, that many in Alberta saw as a backdoor way to kill new energy projects. And it wasn't just policy. It was attitude. There was a sense, and you heard this constantly if you talked to people in Calgary or Edmonton or other royal communities, that Ottawa didn't just disagree with Alberta's economy. It was embarrassed by it.
I haven't met a lot of Albertans who genuinely wish ill of Quebecers. And I haven't met many Quebecers at all who wish ill of Albertans. I have seen politicians of various stripes and various places trying to foment negative sentiments and play the kinds of divisive cards that we've seen in the past.
Oh, so he's going to pretend like division isn't real? Typical Eastern Canadian politician. French, by the way.
That's not my job.
So you don't think Western alienation is growing?
I think there are politicians.
Do you actually? I don't know if you're a bot also or a Russian fucking stooge or whatever. Or you could just literally be a legitimately fucking retarded American because we have no shortage of those either. Do you actually have any factual disagreement or is this just Asmongold vibe slop? The fact that a foreign company would pay an American YouTuber to create videos that he has no scripting control over to stoke divisions in our neighbor to the north, if you don't see a problem with that, I can't communicate to you, okay? There are probably several medications that you would have to take first for us to even inhabit the same plane of existence. I'm sorry, buddy.
Politicians trying to exploit it.
Like oil and gas was something dirty, something to be apologized for. In 2019, Trudeau won re-election. The Conservatives won every single seat in Alberta and Saskatchewan. It didn't matter. The Liberals formed government with votes from Ontario and Quebec. That night, a hashtag started trending. Wexit. Western exit. A deliberate echo of Brexit. It wasn't a joke.
Yes! Did they ever make a Dongzit? Did we ever get a Donbass exit from Ukraine? I know that they were pumping propaganda videos about Ukraine. I think most of the talking points there were that Donetsk and Luhansk were these poor areas where these Russian speakers lived, and Ukraine was genociding these people. There was a civil war there where the Ukrainian military was just indiscriminately bombing and murdering. If you ever all the people there, if you ever saw those graphs, like bombs dropped in Donbass. Fuck, I don't know if these even exist anymore. They'd always showed like where all the bombings are. They were trying to say, like, oh, look at the number. You can see how much they're trying to murder all of the civilians there. All the standard Russian propaganda talking points.
work. Within weeks, there were rallies, Facebook groups with hundreds of thousands of members. A political party formed, first called Wexit, then rebranded to the Maverick Party. Talks of separation went from something you heard from your uncle at Thanksgiving to something you heard from your coworker at lunch. The 2022 trucker convoy brought things to another level. The convoy had strong support in Alberta, and the Goose border blockade in southern Alberta became a flashpoint. Protesters blocked the U.S.-Canada border crossing for weeks. Four men were arrested on charges of conspiring to murder RCMP officers. It was ugly. But for many Albertans, the convoy was less about the specific mandates, and more about what they saw as a federal government that didn't listen and didn't care. Then came Danielle Smith. Smith became the premier of Alberta after winning the United Conservative Party leadership.
I'm back!
It's like slavery being around states' rights, you know?
True.
A platform of standing up to Ottawa. Her signature move was the Alberta Sovereignty Within United Canada Act, that gives provincial government the ability to challenge and refuse to enforce federal laws it considers harmful to Alberta. The name of the act tells you everything about Smith's strategy. She was not calling for independence, at least not publicly. She was calling for sovereignty within Canada, maximum autonomy, short of leaving. But critics say she's building the infrastructure for something bigger, whether she intends to use it or not. In 2025, her government passed a bill that lowered the signature threshold for citizen-initiated referendums from roughly 600,000 to 178,000. That's 10% of voters from the last election instead of 20%. And the collection window was extended. That change is what made the current independence petition possible. And then, April 28th, 2025, the federal election. The Liberals won again, this time under Mark Carney.
They're probably rigging it, dude.
Replaced Trudeau as Liberal leader. The Conservatives under Pierre Poilievre improved their seat count, but couldn't form a government. Four Conservative-Liberal victories. Alberta voted Conservative every time, and every time, it didn't matter. For separatists, the 2025 election was proof that the system was broken, that Alberta would never have a real voice in a country where Ontario and Quebec decide every election.
True!
That the only way out was actually out.
Ooh, and that's where Albexit came in, baby.
So here's where we are right now, as of early 2026. The independence petition is live. It launched on January 3rd,
If this video is 100% factually correct, would Caleb still be wrong for voicing this video? I can't tell if that's a serious question or not. I think in another world where algorithms haven't gotten every fucking retard interested in politics, you just wouldn't have an opinion on this because you don't deserve to. You're too incompetent, you're too stupid, and you're too easily pliable for other countries to weaponize dipshits like you. I don't even know if I'm not even a real person, dude. I could be talking to a fucking Russian bot. I don't even know, bro.
You're talking to a bot right now, man.
Other countries writing scripts to be read for, stoking divisions in your country, by people that don't even know anything about your I guarantee you that if I were to write a 15-question quiz about this video and give it to Caleb, he would get exactly zero answers correct. And if you can't see the problem with that, that why would you want a foreign voice to take over a Canadian voice? Why would you want to think, what do my fellow Canadians think? And when you think of that, you're thinking about videos made in other countries written by script writers from other countries who hate your country, who just want to see your country fail. If you can't immediately identify the problem with that, it's too many fundamental levels. I don't know. This is like why is murder and rape actually wrong if you're stronger? I don't know, bro. We can talk about another day, I guess.
So here's where we are right now, as of early 2026. The independence petition is live. It launched on January 3rd, 2026, led by Mitch Sylvester and the Alberta Prosperity Project. They need 177,732 signatures by May 2nd, 2026. If they get them, it forces a province-wide referendum. The referendum question, do you agree that the province of Alberta shall become a sovereign country and cease to be a province in Canada? Signing events have drawn big crowds across the province. In Red Deer, Eckville, Okuntis, and dozens of other towns, people have lined up for hours. Sylvester says every event has been packed, but there's a counter-movement as well. A former deputy premier named Thomas Lukashuk launched a group called Forever Canadian and collected over 450,000 signatures, way more than the required threshold, and a petition calling for Alberta to stay in Canada. Meanwhile, Danielle Smith announced that on October 19th, 2026, the province will hold a government-run referendum, but it won't ask about independence directly. Instead, it'll have 9 questions focused on immigration policy, provincial jurisdiction, and constitutional reform. Things like, should Alberta have the right to prioritize its own laws over conflicting federal laws? Should the province control its own immigration system? Smith is playing a careful game. She gives separatists enough oxygen to keep the pressure on Ottawa while positioning herself as a federalist who wants a better deal, not a divorce. Then there's the American angle. We already talked about the State Department meeting, but there's more to the U.S. story. Donald Trump, throughout his time in office, repeatedly made jokes, or not jokes, depending on how you read them.
Well, we can always look. What I'd like to see Canada become our 51st state.
He slapped tariffs on Canadian goods. He called Canada's relationship with the U.S. unfair. For most Canadians, this was insulting. But for a small number of Albertans, it was interesting. A group called the Alberta 51 Project and another called the American Fund started talking seriously about U.S. statehood. Their pitch was straightforward. Lower taxes, fewer regulations, Second Amendment rights, a bigger market, and access to the most powerful economy on Earth. Now, and this is where the numbers tell a different story than the rallies, a research poll found that only 24% of Albertans supported joining the United States, 72% opposed. Even among those who support Second Amendment rights, a bigger market, and access to the most powerful economy on Earth. Now, and this is where the numbers tell a different story than the rallies, arena in air, down to local jurisdiction, and constitutional reform. Things like, should Alberta have the right to prioritize its own laws over conflicting federal laws? Should the province control its own immigration system? Smith is playing a careful game. She gives separatists enough oxygen to keep the pressure on Ottawa while positioning herself as a federalist who wants a better deal, not a divorce. Then there's the American angle. We already talked about the State Department meeting, but there's more to the U.S. story. Donald Trump, throughout his time in office, repeatedly made jokes, or not jokes, depending on how you read them.
Well, we can always, look, What I'd like to see Canada become our 51st state.
He slapped tariffs on Canadian goods. He called Canada's relationship with the U.S. unfair. For most Canadians, this was insulting. But for a small number of Albertans, it was interesting.
What did I say? What did I say earlier? There's going to be some good MAGA slop in here.
A group called the Alberta 51 Project and another called the American Fund started talking seriously about U.S. statehood. Their pitch was straightforward. Lower taxes, fewer regulations, Second Amendment rights, a bigger market, and access to the most powerful economy on Earth. Now, and this is where the numbers tell a different story than the rallies, a research poll found that only 24% of Albertans supported joining the United States, 72% opposed. Even among those who support independence, most want Alberta to be its own country, not an American state. The legal barriers are enormous. It's not just about Alberta voting to leave. Under Canadian constitutional law, specifically the Supreme Court's ruling on Quebec, Succession and the Clarity Act, the province can't unilaterally leave. Even with a clear referendum result, there would need to be negotiations with the federal government, other provinces, and Indigenous nations, constitutional amendments. The whole process could take years, and joining the U.S. would be even harder. You'd need Canada to agree to let Alberta go, which it won't, and then the U.S. Congress would have to vote to admit a new state. That's a two-constitution problem. Two countries that would both have to say yes. Plus, Indigenous nations, particularly Treaty 6, 7, and 8 First Nations, have made it crystal clear that they oppose separation. Their treaties were signed with the Crown, meaning the Canadian government. An independent Alberta or an American Alberta wouldn't automatically inherit those agreements. A court ruling in December 2025 actually found that the independence referendum proposals violate the Canadian Constitution, partly for this reason.
What are the polls actually?
Here's where we have to be honest about the numbers, because the media coverage and the reality doesn't always line up. In February 2026, the Angus Reid Institute polled Albertans. The result, 29% said they'd vote to leave Canada, 65% said they'd vote to stay.
What?
And among the stay crowd, most said definitely stay, not probably. But here's the part that really matters. In the polling poll, Ipsos ran a different version of that question, one that included the actual loss and consequences of separation. Support dropped in half. The committed separatist number fell to somewhere around 15 to 16%. That's a huge gap. It means that about half the people who say yes to separation in a simple poll changes their mind when you tell them what it would actually cost. Research co-found similar numbers, 31% for independence, 62% against, and only 24% for joining the U.S. Generationally, it's interesting. The 18 to 34 age group is the most open to separation, about 42% in some surveys. Support drops to 27% for people aged 35 to 54. And 25% for those 55 and older. There are two ways to read that. One, younger people are genuinely more radical because housing costs are insane, the economy feels rigged against them, and they've got nothing to lose. Two, younger people are more likely to express protest sentiment, the economy feels rigged against them, and
What am I looking at here?
They've got nothing to lose. Two, younger people are more likely to express protest sentiment in polls without deeply committing to the consequences. Both of these things can be true at the same time. One more data point worth mentioning. AFP Fact Check actually caught a viral graphic in 2026 that completely flipped the poll numbers, claiming a majority of Albertans supported separation when the real poll said the opposite. That graphic got shared hundreds of thousands of times before it was debunked, which tells you something about how information warfare works in this space. The actual numbers don't support separation, but the vibes do. The numbers tell one story. The people tell another. Zara Moberg, a woman who lined up to sign the petition in Red Deer, told CBC, "I don't think that we're heard here in Alberta as they are in the East."
In the East? 2 years ago. What is this? "Hey, y'all. I'm actually going to rebrand this channel to a passion project of mine. Weekend Workplace was a fun test, but none of us really had passion behind it. I'm obsessed with digging into the history / numbers of different businesses. We will be doing bi-weekly mini documentaries focused on different business / economic topics. The first one will be surrounding Boeing's current major issues. Look out for that this Thursday. By the way, myself and someone I'm working with spends hours and hours doing research on these topics, but I'm not actually doing the voiceover with these. For these, my friend is, who has much better documentary voice." That was 2 years ago? Like, a type of video like this would take months to, like, to truly properly research something of this depth, unless you're starting with a high base of knowledge and then to do all the graphics and everything else. Although now with AI,
you got sources and everything too. Yeah.
But now with AI and everything, I'm sure, I bet you could shit out a video like this. I bet you could do it in less than a week. I bet you, like, having a person working a few hours a day on it would be my guess. And like, this video was put out. Like, look at these videos, bro. 7 days ago, 36-minute video on the streaming war, 53-minute video 2 days later on when will the national debt become an actual problem, 43-minute video 2 days after that, and then this video right here, 32 minutes. These are dense videos with a lot of graphics, supposedly a lot of research that's gone into it. Like, this is all AI slop. And I bet variations of these scripts are 100% being given out to all of the other channels that are doing videos that are similar-ish to these.
And we want to see some change. Another woman, Tracy Worthington, says she's hoping Albertans will choose independence and the ability to govern ourselves without any federal overreach. A mother explained why she showed up.
"I think I want to see change for my kids. I don't want them to carry all
the inspirational music,
By keeping in what we have right now.
I want my kids to see that I stood for something I believe in." A man named Darwin Graff from Sylvian Lake admitted there'd be hard times at first if Alberta separated, but said once that stability is placed back into the...
AI can replicate voices instantly. "Well, I give it 6 seconds of my voice. See if you can tell which sentence is read by me and which is read by the AI pretending to be me. I'm the master of AI voice detection."
The cultural link.
That's AI.
linguistic and religious ties between Russians and Ukrainians have always been inseparable, forming one great Slavic nation. Any attempts to separate the two countries are artificial constructs imposed by external forces seeking to weaken our shared heritage.
First one is AI, 100%.
The province again. I think Alberta is going to thrive. These aren't radicals. These are regular people. Parents, workers, retirees.
First sentence is real. I knew that, and I said that just to trick you. Look at how mind-fucked you are.
Who feel like the system. Sylvian Lake admitted there'd be hard times at first if Alberta separated, but said once that stability is placed back into the province again, I think Alberta is going to thrive. These aren't radicals. These are regular people, parents, workers, retirees, who feel like the system isn't working for them. And that's what makes the situation more complicated than it looks from the outside. Because here's the thing about Alberta that most people outside of Canada don't get. It's not like Texas, where the succession talk is mostly tongue-in-cheek bar banter. In Alberta, there's a genuine sense of injury, of being used, of sending checks to a government that turns around and makes your life harder. When the carbon tax went up, Albertans paid it while watching eastern provinces get exemptions. And pipeline after pipeline got blocked, Alberta's oil went to the U.S. at a discount while eastern Canada imported oil from dictatorships across the Atlantic. When the province ran a surplus and tried to build infrastructure, Ottawa introduced regulations that slowed everything down.
16,
is that some sort of oversimplification? Sure. There's always more to it. Federal transfer fund Alberta's hospitals and schools. Canadian citizenship is worth something. Healthcare, social safety nets, international standing. Being part of a G7 country has real benefits that are easy to take for granted. But feelings aren't spreadsheets. And a feeling in a lot of Alberta right now is, we tried working within the system. We've tried voting. We've tried lobbying.
The voice isn't
changes.
Heard.
On the other side, the Forever Canadian campaign collected more than 450,000 signatures in favor of staying. That's more than double what the separatists need. Plenty of Albertans, the majority, in fact, look at independence and see economic chaos, lost pensions, lost healthcare, and a worse life for their kids. Not a better one. The NDP opposition and the Alberta legislature signed a joint pledge against separation. The Confederacy of Treaty No. 6, First Nations came out strongly against it, saying it violates their treaty rights with the Crown. 79% of Canadians outside of Alberta would oppose letting the province leave. This is...
It's not just legislation we need. We need to teach our kids to be able to identify suspicious content online. No! I am feeling stronger every single day about my suggestion. Every single For You section should be, there should be no 230 protections for companies that host For You infinite scroll content. All of it has to be banned. We cannot survive it. Without that box, this type of content does not survive. It can't. It won't. It will never get off the ground. Nobody would watch it. Nobody's going to collab with these people unless they're getting paid to promote it or whatever. But I mean, like, that's so much easier to track and the problem would be so much smaller in scope. You cannot have this bullshit. You just can't survive it. Nobody can survive it. Right? I say you, I mean me, all of us. Well, I can. Because I'm a god.
I can, yeah.
I'm a god.
Not them, though.
Maybe you. Maybe.
This isn't a one-sided story. It's a province at war with itself and with Ottawa. Alberta isn't the only place in the world where a resource-rich region feels ripped off by its national government. Quebec went through this twice. The 1980 sovereignty referendum failed with 60% voting no. The 1995 one was a razor-thin loss for the separatists, 50.58% no, 49.42% yes. Canada literally came within a percentage point of breaking apart. Alberta's situation is different. Quebec separatism was rooted in language and culture. A French-speaking society within an English-speaking country. Alberta separatism is rooted in economics and political power and culture. A French-speaking society within an English... speaking country. Alberta separatism is rooted in economics and political power, a rich province that feels exploited by a system designed to benefit others. Scotland held an independence referendum in 2014 and voted 55% to stay in the United Kingdom.
Valid votes cast yesterday by the people of Scotland in response to the referendum question, should Scotland be an independent country, were in favour of no.
But after Brexit, when Scotland was dragged out of the European Union against its will,
this means that the UK has voted to leave the European Union.
Calls for a second referendum came back. The parallels aren't perfect, but the pattern is similar. When a region feels its voice doesn't matter in national decisions, breakup talk comes back. Catalonia and Spain held an unauthorized independence referendum in 2017. The Spanish government sent police. Leaders were arrested. The situation was ugly. And then there's the trade angle. Over 97% of Alberta's oil exports go south to the United States. Alberta's...
When was the last time you ever in your entire fucking life saw a video about, I don't know, some region or some territory in Russia wanting to break away, right? Isn't it crazy that it's always like the most successful, the wealthiest, the healthiest, the best, like Western countries, for some reason all seem to be flying apart at the fucking seams? When was the last time you heard somebody talk about fucking Chechnya or somebody wanting to fucking break away? Oh my God. Who was it? Was it Tommy Robinson who was trying to say that there was a, I don't know Russian history, but Chechnya and Russia have had issues for a long time, and there was a Chechenian warlord who took over like a school because they go back and forth with Russia, and they wanted, and Russia's just fucking annihilated, like in two insane civil wars, or if you'd call it a civil war, I guess, inside Russia. And Tommy Robinson presented that as a Muslim terrorist attack. That's how he presented the takeover of that school or whatever. There's a reason why you only ever hear about that. Isn't it crazy that everybody in Russia is like super happy and everybody in China is super happy? There's no civil unrest. Nobody wants to break away. Nobody wants to do anything. But in Western countries, the UK seems like it wanted to break away from the EU. It did. Other countries are EU skeptic now. Scotland wants to break away from the United Kingdom, and Alberta wants to break away, and maybe we need to have a civil divorce or whatever in the United States. And it's like,
economy is more integrated with Montana.
What?
Makes you think.
Makes you think.
Wyoming, the American Midwest, than it is with Toronto.
Oh, and Ukraine. Supposedly Ukrainians wanted to break away and join Russia.
South to the United States. Alberta's economy is more integrated with Montana, Wyoming, and the American Midwest than it is with Toronto or Montreal. And Spain held an unauthorized independence referendum in 2017.
Oh, I guess Spain wants to break away.
The Spanish government sent police. Leaders were arrested. The situation was ugly. And then there's the trade angle. Over 97% of Alberta's oil exports go south to the United States. Alberta's economy is more integrated with Montana, Wyoming, and the American Midwest than it is with Toronto or
Because of that export?
Montreal. The trade flows run north-south, not east-west. That's a basic geographic and economic fact that shapes everything. When your biggest customer is America and your biggest frustration is Canada, the math starts to get uncomfortable. Ooh. The Trump tariffs made this even more complicated. On the other hand, tariffs hurt Alberta by threatening its oil exports. Rutgers reported that Alberta projected a multi-billion-dollar deficit partly due to tariff risks. On the other hand, the tariff fight pushed some Albertans to think maybe we'd be better off on the inside of that tariff wall instead of the outside. It's a paradox. The same American president who talks about making Alberta a state is also the one making life harder in Alberta with trade barriers. And somehow, both of these things feed the separatist argument. Even Quebec separatist movement noticed. The Parti Québec leader, Paul Saint-Pierre Plamondon, revealed in January 2026.
Wait, what?
No.
No. So the Bedlam School Massacre was, you know, everyone has a moment that opens their eyes.
Yeah.
And once your eyes are open, it's hard to close them if you realize the danger and the threat. So Bedlam School Massacre was, and this is coming, it's coming to America, it's going to come to Europe. So
he tells us, he's told the story the same way for like fucking 20 years or whatever. I don't know how long ago this happened. He just presents it as like a Muslim terrorist attack. And this is like a huge, like, I don't know if you call it nationalistic, but like the way that I think Russia has like maintained control over this, it's considered autonomous or semi-autonomous, I think, region in Russia, Chechnya, has been to the, would you say detriment? I don't think the Chechens like it very much, but he presents this as just like, oh, there was just like a random Muslim terrorist attack.
A school was taken over by Chechen jihadists, and it was a school for the children. And as they took over the school, the parents would come outside the school, so I can still see it now, so I visually see it. And as they started massacring the children inside the school, Russian children, then the parents would drop into their knees. There's nothing they could do. So I'll just think about that. Imagine being outside a kid's school. Your kids are inside the school. You know jihadists have took over the school.
Okay, listen. I hate jihadists and Islamists and all that shit, okay? I have no love for any of them. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Actually, no, that one I'm trying. I was going to say, were more children killed by Russians or by the Chechen warlord people? Because I think actually it might have been by the people that had taken over the school, but I think a lot of the killing happened when I think Russia has like a Russia doesn't negotiate with terrorists. Okay, if you're on a plane and you've got like three Americans, you're like, fucking okay, let's see what the fuck we can do here. What can we figure out here? If you're on a plane and there are three Russians, there's probably already a missile headed for your plane. They're just gonna fucking blow it. I don't give a fuck. Okay, they don't give a fuck.
But for me, it wasn't that.
And I'm pretty sure for the school thing, Russia just sent in, I don't know if it was the KGB at the time or something else. They just like sent all their dudes in and fucked that shit up. We should watch a video on this tomorrow. Sorry.
So for me, I was trying to understand, this isn't one madman here. This is a large group of men that are coming together and believe this behavior is acceptable. Like they've kidnapped kids and they're butchering them in school. So I just, at that point, started looking to understand who these men were, what was the mindset, what is jihad. And as I started looking into it, I found a group of Muslims in a chicken shop in my hometown giving an interview in a video on YouTube at the time.
Saying, it's just like to say that this was just like Islamic jihadism is just like crazy. It's like saying Mamdani won the election in New York City because of Islamists. Although if you're fucking Sam Harris, maybe you believe that, dude. Somebody said the Russians killed far more than Basayev. Maybe they did. I don't know if the people that had taken the school started to kill more Russian workers, but maybe the Russians did kill more, yeah. Russians easy, Russia FSB did bombing attacks on apartment complexes. I'm saying just for that particular school event, not for the... There was that Russian opera hostage scenario where the Russian cops accidentally gassed over 100 hostages to death, LOL. Okay.
Oh, was that the Fent gas one?
Maybe. Yeah, I'm talking about the Beslan school siege is what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, it was the Fent gas, yeah.
3 days involved the imprisonment of more than 1,100 people as hostages, including 777 children, ending with the deaths of 334 people, 186 of them children, as well as 31 of the attackers. Early in the day, North Ossetia's parliament, chairman of the law, some losers made contact with the president of the Chechen Republic of Ichkeria, Aslan Maskhodov. Tutuni said that both Maskhodov and his Western-based emissary Ahmed Zakayev declared that they were ready to fly to Beslan to negotiate with the militants, which was later confirmed by Zakayev. Tutuni said that Maskhadov's sole demand was the unhindered passage of the school. However, the assault began 1 hour after the agreement for his arrival was made. He also mentioned that for 3 days, journalists from Al Jazeera Television offered to participate in the negotiations and enter the school, even as hostages, but were told their services were not needed by anyone. Russian presidential advisor, former police general, and ethnic Chechen Aslambek Aslakhanov, Jesus, was also said to be close to a breakthrough in the secret negotiations. By the time he left Moscow on the second day, Aslakhanov had accumulated the names of more than 700 well-known Russian figures who were volunteering to enter the school as hostages in exchange for the release of the children. Aslakhanov, I'm butchering these names, said the hostage takers agreed to allow him to enter the school the next day at 1500 or 3 p.m. However, the storming began 2 hours before. Around 1 p.m. on the 3rd of September, the militants allowed four Ministry of Emergency Situations medical workers and two ambulances to remove 20 bodies from the school grounds and to bring the corpse of the killed terrorist to the school. However, at 1303, when the paramedics approached the school, an explosion of the gymnasium was heard. The terrorists then opened fire on the paramedics, killing two. The other two took cover behind their vehicle. The second explosion, described as strange sounding, was heard 22 seconds later. At 1:05 p.m., a fire started on the roof of the gymnasium, and soon the burning rafters and parts of the roof fell onto the hostages below, many of whom were injured but still alive. Eventually, the entire roof collapsed, filling the room with fire. The flames reportedly killed some 160 people, more than half of the total hostage fatalities. I think this was the, is it the FSB or the KGB entering? There are several conflicting opinions regarding the source and nature of the explosions. According to the December 2005 report by Stanislav Kasayev, deputy speaker of the North Ossetian Parliament, some witnesses said that a Federal Forces sniper had shot a militant whose foot was on a dead man switch detonator, triggering the first blast. The captured terrorist Nurpashi Kuliev has testified to this, while a local policewoman and hostage named Fatima Dudieva said that she was shot in the hand from outside just before the explosion, and that there were three blasts, two small explosions at 1:03, followed by a larger one at 1:29. According to the State Duma member, Yuri Savalev, a weapons and explosive expert, the exchange of gunfire did not begin with explosions inside the school building, but with two shots fired from outside the school and blah, 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 blah. I don't know what I haven't like super dug into this. I'm just to describe this whole thing is just like, it was just like a Muslim terrorist attack. Bro, Chechen history and like the destruction of Grozny, like people argue that laid the groundwork for how Putin coached Assad in the destruction of cities in Western Syria, like Aleppo. Like this is like the fucking blueprint for civilian carnage and destruction. I'm sorry. I hate all these people. Sorry. Okay. Moscow theater hostage. I don't know. We never hear about these because Russia does nothing wrong. And by the way, very convenient alliance here with the ML types, right? That Hassan and all these people will never, ever, 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 ever say anything bad either about Russia or China too. So when you've got these types of videos being juiced out to the West from Moscow, fuck the Netherlands. There's no shot. People in the Netherlands don't even know how to fucking use the internet, okay? These guys run around. Amsterdam has like a fucking warning posted on every fucking street not to get lost because the whole city looks like a game dev got drunk and copy-pasted the same fucking street over and over and over and over again, and then he made the people glitch them all in way too fucking tall. This is Amsterdam. There's no way that people in the Netherlands are doing propaganda to separate Canadian provinces. This is from Moscow. Guaranteed. Guaranteed 1,000,000,000%, okay? This is Kremlin propaganda, okay? The fact that we're getting that juiced up there, and then meanwhile, people like Pokemon and Hassan are flying to China to tell us how amazing the East is. My shit is cooked, bro. Our shit is cooked. We're fucked, okay? We're fucked.
King chilling. China's great.
Wait. One of my YouTuber guys, was it Ark or the other guy, linked, said that there were two other videos that were similar to this? Is that true?
There's a big CBC video that goes into it.
No. It sounded like somebody linked in my chat. It sounded like they were linking. There were like two other YouTube videos that seemed like they were generated from the same type of.
That I didn't see.
Two more no-name channels with similar scripted videos uploaded within the last 6 months. Note how every single video is about how bad X Western country is or how good China is.
Breaking news from the frozen.
You can feel it the moment. Continent.
The Western provinces of Canada. Have just taken a massive step toward becoming America's 51st.
Well, So not big channels, but I'm sure you could watch this to see like what are the scripts generating for these people, right?
52nd, 53rd, and 54th states. Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and parts of interior British Columbia are officially moving forward with plans.
Is this lady AI?
Yeah, 100%.
Are openly cheering the movement.
That's insane.
Lenders have sought massive credit lines, up to $500 billion.
$500 billion. That same number. There's, by the way, I don't know if you understand how much money that is. There's no world where any fucking movement is getting a $500 billion. That's not even a believable lie. $500 billion. $500 million. If you're like the most important motherfucking organization on earth, maybe you're a person who has to beg for something like that. But $500 billion is like a comically insane fucking number. $500 billion?
Backed by Alberta's oil and gas reserves.
Oh.
The idea? If they separate, the U.S. could provide financial backing to make the transition smooth. From the American perspective, this is strategic gold.
What is this other channel?
Once you step outside, the tension, the pressure.
237 views. 23-minute video.
The quiet sense that something in Western Canada is shifting beneath our feet. Prices rising, futures shrinking, voices growing sharper in town halls and kitchen tables. And for the first time in a generation, people are whispering questions once unthinkable.
Like, I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm even going to be allowed, because I don't know if anybody watches this. Okay, wait, are you on Discord?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what, like, especially look at the, like, look at the bottom. It's like, how intentional is all of this?
What?
Like, my country is cooked, bro. My shit is fucked. We're actually fucked. You understand, right?
Yeah, that's GG.
Questions about identity, about belonging, about what happens when a country stops listening to its own people. Before we go deeper, make sure you like, share, and subscribe.
Okay.
Because what comes next affects every Canadian. You feel it before you see it. Before the headlines, before the numbers,
uh-huh.
Before the debates about budgets and borders and who deserves what. It starts in the small moments, the quiet, unsettling ones. A mother standing under the fluorescent lights of a grocery store, staring at a total she can't afford. A father at the kitchen table, calculating a mortgage payment that keeps rising no matter how many hours he works. A young couple sitting in silence, wondering if their future has already slipped out of reach.
Fuck.
This isn't drama. This is daily life in
Western.
Who had planned carefully, saved diligently, bought modestly, suddenly found themselves staring at
the American question, though.
Americans feel like observers instead of participants in choices that affect their survival.
America.
Starts quietly. How come they seem to have more stability? Why do their industries get approval faster? Why does their cost of living feel easier? Why do their markets align more naturally with ours? Not a desire to leave, a desire to understand why the system next door feels like it's functioning, while their own feels like it's stalling. Because when people compare themselves to the United States, it's not patriotism fading, it's security slipping, not identity lost, opportunity shrinking. Economic realities feed the question. Most of the West's energy exports already flow south. Trade routes run along lines drawn by geography, not politics. Market pricing mirror.
Hear that? Same thing, right? Alberta's economy is more intertwined with the Midwest and what was it, North and South Dakota, than it even is with Eastern Canada.
Montana, American benchmarks.
Yeah. Did he say the 97% number? I didn't hear
it. Economic realities feed the question. Most of the West's energy exports already flow south. Trade routes run along lines drawn by geography, not politics. Market pricing mirrors American benchmarks more closely than national ones. Families depend on industries tied directly to U.S. demand. So when households struggle to afford their futures, they compare themselves to the ecosystem they're all...
Like, bro, we're... Hold on.
Six, that's the end of the mouth, not even on angle. Over 90...
Like, just listen to these two segments. This is... The same person that made whatever this is, 237, whatever this channel, the same people, the same thing generated these two scripts, okay? Listen to them. 100%, guaranteed.
7% of Alberta's oil exports go south to the interest of per- similar. Calls for a second referendum came back. The parallels aren't perfect, but the pattern is similar. When a region feels its voice doesn't matter in national decisions, breakup talk comes back. Catalonia and Spain held an unauthorized independence referendum in 2017. The Spanish government sent police.
Wait.
Leaders were arrested. The situation was ugly. And then there's the trade angle. Over 97% of Alberta's oil exports go south to the United States. Alberta's economy is more integrated with Montana, Wyoming, and the American Midwest than it is with Toronto or Montreal. The trade flows run north-south, not east-west.
Mm-hmm.
That's a basic geographic and economic fact that shapes everything. When your biggest customer is America and your biggest frustration is Canada, the math starts to get uncomfortable.
Oh.
The Trump tariffs made this even more complicated.
Okay, what did they say here?
Store feels like it's functioning, while their own feels like it's stalling. Because when people compare themselves to the United States, it's not patriotism fading, it's security slipping, not identity lost, opportunity shrinking. Economic realities feed the question. Most of the West's energy exports already flow south. Trade routes run along lines drawn by geography, not politics.
True.
Market pricing mirrors American benchmarks more closely than national ones.
True.
Families depend on industries tied directly to U.S. demand. So when households struggle to afford their futures, they compare themselves to the ecosystem they're already linked to.
Trade.
Not as a dream, as a calculation. And the question grows sharper. Recent reports indicate rising frustration with national decision-making because Western Canadians feel like observers instead of participants in choices that affect their survival. They watch their industries wait years for approvals, the U.S. processes in months. They watch investments hesitate because policy predictability isn't guaranteed. They watch opportunities move elsewhere. And when people feel sidelined long enough, they start looking over the fence, not out of disloyalty, but out of desperation for stability. That's what the American question really is. Hmm. A pressure meter, a warning signal, a symptom of something deeper than politics. It's the sound of a region wondering what life could look like under a system with different rules, not because they want that system, but because they want a future where they can breathe again.
On the other hand, tariffs hurt Alberta by threatening its oil exports. Rutgers reported that Alberta projected a multi-billion dollar deficit partly due to tariff risks. On the other hand, the tariff fight pushed some Albertans to think maybe we'd be better off on the inside of that tariff wall instead of the outside. It's a paradox. The same American president who talks about making Alberta a state is also the one making life harder in Alberta with trade barriers. And somehow, both of these things feed the separatist argument. Even Quebec's separatist movement noticed. The Parti Québec leader, Paul St-Pierre Plamondon, revealed in January 2026 that he'd met with Alberta Prosperity Project leaders. He called the relationship positive. Two separatist movements on opposite ends of the political spectrum, finding common ground. Strange times. Let's play this out. Say the petition gets enough signatures. Say the referendum happens. Say, against all polling, a majority votes yes. Then what? First, legally, nothing happens automatically. Under the Clarity Act and the Supreme Court's rulings on succession, a yes vote creates a duty to negotiate. It doesn't create independence. Canada would have to agree on terms. Other provinces would need to sign on. Constitutional amendments would be required, probably under the 750 rule, meaning seven provinces representing 50% of the population would need to agree, maybe even unanimous consent for certain changes. Now, the economics. An independent Alberta would inherit a strong resource base, over 4 million barrels of oil per day, huge natural gas reserves, agriculture, and forestry. GDP was around...
By the way... Now you want a real, mind fucker? You want a real mind cucker? What other massively divisive political issue in the United States has all of the same brainless talking points repeated verbatim across almost every single Western country on the planet that gets juiced up by a side that only seems to be attacking the same political side that Russia, Qatar, and China have been attacking for the past 10 years in the United States of America, for the past decade in Canada, for the past whoever knows how the fuck long in Europe for the European Union, right? I'm just saying, okay? Somebody wanted to fucking... globalize the KGB, okay? And they're doing a real good job of it.
Around $500 billion. Not bad for a country of 4.8 million people. On paper, it'd be one of the richest small nations on Earth. But there are massive problems. Trade. Alberta is landlocked. It has no ocean port. Getting oils and goods to market requires crossing someone else's territory, either British Columbia to the west, Saskatchewan to the east, or the United States to the south. An independent Alberta would need to negotiate transit or trade deals from scratch with countries that might not be friendly about it. Currently, Alberta uses the Canadian dollar. An independent Alberta would need its own currency, or pegged to the US dollar, while managing an economy almost entirely dependent on a single commodity. That's a recipe for wild swings.
Like,
pensions. Albertans have paid into the...
And it's so good. I sound like a schizo talking about this. It's so good how mindfucked you are into believing exactly the opposite. Can somebody link me to the fucking Jew propaganda? Where the fuck is my pro-Israeli propaganda? Where the fuck is it? Hello?
Canadian pension plan their entire working lives. Disentangling that would be a nightmare. Government services. Canada's universal healthcare system, the military, border security, diplomatic services, all gone. Alberta would need to build all of it from scratch. And the brain drain. If you're a young professional in Calgary and your country suddenly has an uncertain future, no trade deals and a new currency, do you stay? Or do you move to Vancouver or Toronto or Dallas? Economists who've modeled this generally agree. And independent Alberta would almost...
I'm not sure if I'm going over to Vancouver or if I'm going to head east. Oh yeah? Head east? Where you're going to go to like Toronto or Montreal? No. Dallas, Texas. Okay.
All of it from scratch and the brain drain. If you're a young professional in Calgary and your country suddenly has an uncertain future, no trade deals and a new currency, do you stay? Or do you move to Vancouver or Toronto or Dallas? Economists who've modeled this generally agree.
Who would pick that example? It's such an obvious fucking MAGA jerk-off example. Oh my God.
Alberta would almost certainly experience a significant short-term...
It's not even Austin, where fucking Caleb is, whatever fucking lives, Dallas. Oh my God, kill me. It's okay.
Economic contraction. How bad and how long depends on the negotiating terms. Best case, it's painful but manageable. Worst case, it's a deep recession lasting years. The U.S. statehood path has its own problems. Even if Alberta could somehow get both Canadian and American consent, becoming a state means adopting American laws, American taxes, American healthcare, or lack thereof. Alberta currently has universal healthcare. As an American state, it wouldn't. That's a trade-off most Albertans haven't fully thought through.
Okay, that's not true. They could have their own fucking...
So what's most likely to actually happen? Let's look at the three realistic scenarios. Scenario one, this is the most probable, is what you'd call loud autonomy.
Wait, hold on. Let's work through this one and see how it goes.
It isn't a plan. It isn't a roadmap to another country. It's a reflection of a deeper truth. People ask impossible questions when they see no possible solutions. And that's what shakes the country. Not the idea itself, but the fact that ordinary people, once confident in their place, are now imagining alternatives they never would have considered in calmer times. The American question isn't about another flag. It's about the fear of losing everything that made the West strong. It's about searching for stability in a time when stability feels like a memory. It's about a region so pressured, so strained, so exhausted that even the unthinkable has become a discussion. And when the unthinkable becomes thinkable, a nation should start listening. No country breaks in an instant. It drifts, quietly, silently, one decision at a time, one disappointment at a time. Policy documents or economic forecasts. It's written in the choices people make. Households will break before the system bends. If the divide keeps widening, unity becomes a slogan instead of a reality.
Okay, there's a what comes next. I'm curious if this mirrors this part at all. Let's see.
And history has shown us what happens when nations ignore their warning signs. They don't fracture overnight. They fracture slowly through declining trust, rising regional fatigue, and a sense that the future is slipping away faster than anyone can catch it. That's the danger now. Not separation, not rebellion, but the quiet unraveling of confidence, the belief that the country will protect the people who built it. Because once that belief fades, everything else begins to follow. Western Canada is asking a question, a hard one, a necessary one, a question the rest of the country can no longer afford to brush aside. What happens next depends on whether anyone is listening. And if you want this conversation, this truth, to reach the people who need to hear it, make sure you like this video, share it with someone who's feeling the pressure, and subscribe so you don't miss the next chapter of a story still unfolding. Because
9 creepiest places in northern Canada where nobody came back. 10 Alberta places you were never meant to find. Nice. Okay. They didn't have any detailed at the end of this video, but okay. How does Caleb round out his video?
Get the 3 realistic scenarios. Scenario 1, and this is the most probable, is what you'd call loud autonomy. Alberta doesn't leave, but it uses the threat of leaving to extract concessions from Ottawa. More control over immigration, more control over resource development, maybe its own pension plan, its own police force, its own tax collection system. Danielle Smith keeps pushing the Sovereignty Act. Referendum questions in October 2026 give her a democratic mandate to fight for more power. This is basically what Quebec did for 40 years. Wow. The threat of separation became the most powerful bargaining chip in Canadian politics, and it worked. Quebec has special status, language protections, and enormous federal spending. Alberta is running the same playbook from the right instead of the left. Scenario 2, a referendum happens and the stay side wins big. This is actually the second most likely outcome. If the independence petition gets enough.
Ballpark, how much you think I paid for this? My initial guess was 25 grand, but if it's just an AI voice, probably less. I thought he read this whole script, but listening to this now, I'm not sure if this is just an AI read or not.
Signatures and a vote happens. Current polling says 65% or more would vote to stay in Canada. A clear no would take the air out of the separatist movement for a generation, just like the 1980 referendum in Quebec quieted things down until the late 1990s. Scenario 3, the slow burn polarization loop. The referendum fails or never happens, but underlying frustrations don't go away. Oil prices drop, budgets get worse, new round of federal regulations come in, and the cycle starts again. Support for separation grows a little each time. Not enough to win, but enough to keep the country on edge. Trust keeps eroding. The center keeps weakening. And here's a variable nobody controls: oil prices. Alberta's fiscal health, its political mood, and the intensity of its grievances all track global oil markets with scary precision. If oil stays above $80 a barrel, Alberta runs surpluses and anger simmers. If it drops below $60, deficits pile up, jobs get cut, and the anger boils. Right now, oil is in a tricky spot. The 2025-26 budget projected a $6.4 billion deficit, partially because of lower prices, and partially because of rapid population growth from immigration. That's more fuel for the separatist fire. More people coming in, more money going out, less control over either one. The global energy transition adds another layer. If the world actually moves toward net zero over the next 20 years...
And net zero green energy? I feel like I predicted every major talking point. Go back and find it in the VOD. I swear to God I did, okay? We got net zero, which I don't even know. Do you guys say net zero in Canada? You might. No, I feel like we hear it sometimes in the U.S. as well.
I feel like I heard it too much, but I think that some people do say it, yeah.
I know it was obsessively talked
when
about
we were
in
the
Europe.
Paris Accords, I think people wanted it.
In Europe, they love net zero, net zero, net zero, net zero. And the U.K. is like every other fucking word. Net zero, net zero, net zero, net zero. They talk about net zero all the time. Holy shit. I feel like I sometimes hear it in the U.S., but... I don't know. Yeah.
Going out, less control over either one. The global energy transition adds another layer. If the world actually moves toward net zero over the next 20 years, Alberta's core industry faces long-term decline. That could go one of two ways. The province diversifies successfully and anger fades, or it doesn't, and the feeling of being trapped in a system that's killing your livelihood gets unbearable. So here's the bottom line. Alberta is not going to leave Canada tomorrow. The legal barriers are too high, the public support isn't there, and the economic risks are too real. But Alberta is not happy,
God
and it isn't
it.
Just a phase. The grievances are real. They're backed by real numbers, and they've been building for over 100 years. The NEP, the equalization system, the pipeline fights, 4 consecutive liberal governments, each one is another brick in a wall between Alberta and the rest of Canada. The people lining up at community halls to sign the petition aren't crazy. They're not traitors. They're people who feel, with some justification, that the country they built doesn't work for them anymore. Whether Canada listens, really listens, not just throws a few concessions and hopes it all goes away, will determine whether the story ends with a stronger federation or a broken one. The petition deadline is May 2nd, 2026. The referendum is set for October 19th, and 4.8 million Albertans are watching, waiting, deciding. This story isn't over. It's just getting started.
There are tons of anti-China propaganda channels. Here's an example. Anti-China we need to watch some of this.
Bing chilling.
Business basics. China throws Iran under the bus over Hormuz.
Iran's supreme leader is hiding underground. His top generals are dead, and his country is bleeding out from a war it cannot win. So when his negotiators sit down to draft a peace proposal for the U.S., you would expect terms of surrender. Instead, Iran just sent Trump a letter demanding that the U.S. lift all sanctions, unfreeze Iranian assets, and leave their nuclear program alone. Little did they know.
Wait, okay, I believe you, but I'm not diving. I'm not going down this hole right now.
Good.
Top 10 abandoned places in Alaska.
You think you know America,
the grocery stores, the malls, the late-night diners. But the hidden map tells a different story. Places most people don't drive past. Towns.
Okay, sorry, I'm done. Fuck Canada. Alberta, USA. That thumbnail is crazy.
Yeah.
We're fucked. Is college worth it? New York City's budget crisis is insane. Today we're fucked. Whoops. Way to go, Muslim dummy. Fuck Reddit. Fuck TikTok. This U.S. city has 1% water left. It's Dallas again. Oh, no. California is doomed. Why Gen Z isn't having sex. Buy now, pay never. $100 billion just fled Washington State. Holy shit.
These are long fucking videos.
Yeah, I know.
Too,
they're
dude.
All huge. Consider it like in a month. Dude, a fucking actual, like, a video essayist like would look at this workload in a month and would kill themselves.
Dude, video essays do this in a fucking year. Just what he does in a fucking month.
No, like, yeah, longer insane. Than that. Like, a month or two would be the work into one of these videos. But I even go like 4 weeks ago. Yeah, 40 minutes, 41 minutes, 38 minutes, 38 minutes, 42 minutes, 39 minutes, 35. Like, this is all in 1 month. What is that, 13 videos that are like 30 or 40 minutes in length? And they're all like art, quote-unquote, high quality. They're all AI-generated, but... Are they all Caleb Hammer's voice?
Gross income, the taxable earnings of the people who left, Florida gained $20.6 billion, and Texas gained $5 billion. The households leaving California and New York are not primarily lower income families chasing cheaper rents. High income
streamers are fucking lazy. This guy's not sitting here and
well, I wonder if he did
fucking voiceovers.
I wonder if he reads for the topics he knows more about.
Earning more than $200,000 per year, moved to the states with no income tax at disproportional rates.
Because this one does sound more dynamic than the Canadian one.
Yeah. Wealth transfer is real, and it's accelerating. The Tax Foundation compiles the underlying policy data that explains why
Gen Z is doomed.
In 2023, South Korea recorded a total fertility rate of 0.2. And for reference, a country needs roughly 2.
Is this supposed to be Caleb's voice?
0.1 to maintain its existing. Thousands of people are using Dollarwise to genuinely change.
Oh, it's the app!
Their finances. It is the best budgeting app on the market with automated account connections, real spending insights, and a 3-day free trial so you can see if it works before you commit to anything. Make sure you download the Dollarwise budgeting app, link in the description below, or Dollarwise.com.
I've seen this thing posted 5 million fucking times. Yes, the Alberta Separatist Movement leaked a whole bunch of data from people in the movement. I don't know why you guys want to read this. I see this linked 5 million times in chat. Holy shit, no one cares. The retards, they got their data leaked. Everybody leaks everybody's data all the time. No one cares. Holy shit. Oh my fucking God. Jesus, I feel like I've seen 400 people link this. You guys are American propagandists trying to hate on the separatists. That's what you are.
In January 2026, a group of
sources for this documentary. Holy shit, this is so fucking try hard. This is called This Part of Canada Wants to Join the US. 5/11. Oh, they don't have a thing for this one yet. Gen Z Gender Wars. Holy shit! Bruh, we gotta nuke the AI shit. I don't want the data centers. Go get them out. Get them out.
What the fuck?
What's up?
I'm just seeing like what you're going through here.
Oh, it's just
delay.
So try hard. Oh, nice. The AI fucked this one up. It's like so high effort. And this is all AI slop.
They got some prompters.
Radiant.
Yeah, it's over. Pack it up.
the formatting changes. I don't know, bro. I guess every prompt gives them a different, slightly different format. Look at all like the red bars on the left side here, top side here. It's a different table. Statistic. YouTube ecosystem US GDP contribution. Figure, 55 plus billion. Year, 2024. Source, Oxford Economics / Alphabet. It's over, bro.
Yeah, it's GG.
It's over.
I think the thing you have to consider is that like you can be a lot more productive with AI.
No, it's over. So,
what does that have
it's
to do with over. Anything that we're talking about right now?
I'm joking. I hate this garbage. But sorry, it wasn't clear.
You're next.
How do you feel about the information landscape?
It's great. Clearly.
Yeah, I feel like this was the thing that we didn't really get into it last time we talked about like the I feel like AI is promoting this huge distrust in communication.
No, like, actually, almost, I hated this a long time ago, and like, I still hate it, and I don't think my opinion is going to change. I think AI is like 1% of the problem. I don't think it's that much of an issue. I think the issue is that this type of stuff has always existed. Nobody has any incentive to ever dig into it, and AI has just given them even more tools to make it like 20 times fucking worse. But like, fake news and fake pictures and fake stories and fake all this bullshit has existed for so long, but it's just too hard to ever have an honest conversation about it because the average person is fucking retarded. It is bad now. It's worse now because AI makes it so you can produce so much more of it. But like, it's not an AI unique problem, unfortunately. Like, people all
no. It's definitely not unique. I mean, you had like SEO optimized websites sure. that were like yeah. basically written by slave labor to optimize for search engine results, right? It's kind of the same thing, but it was so much more difficult to do it at scale, and it was harder to make it look convincing.
Sure.
And I feel like the thing that AI gives you is that it gives you the appearance of high fidelity and high quality content without actually taking that amount of work.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a very unique property of, yeah, you can say that it's like, it is similar to what we had before, but obviously this is a huge force multiplier, not by like a tiny amount, but like orders of magnitude.
Yeah.
This guy's getting a million plus views on every one of his fucking videos, and
on his main channel.
Seems like he, yeah, yeah, it seems like he takes a sponsor to do fucking propaganda against Canada.
That's crazy.
It's mind-boggling.
Against the West, but Canada was that.
I guess,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, because all of it is going to be, well, actually,
biblical levels of greed.
Another cool thing you can do is that you can, like, if you know someone, like someone you don't like, and they have kids, and they're on like social media and they post videos, you can like take clips of their voice and do scam calls where you AI generate your like someone's daughter's voice.
Yeah.
And have them like pretend they're in an accident or something, and there's a panic and they need money or something.
Not good.
This has already happened multiple times, by the way. So it's, we're in for a ride with all of this.
Not good.
Yep.
Do you think,
I don't know, what do you think will happen if, like, I don't know, do you think the algorithm is like the biggest issue here, or do you think,
I think it's the for you pages, it's gotta yeah. go, they gotta go.
It is kind of the incentives that's a huge issue
in 2023
incentives.
Because the for you page is incentivizing, like trying to like get virality and like the most engaging type of content, and kind of like rushing for that.
Yes, but I think in a fundamentally different way. It's not trying to get people. I have to iterate on this thing more because I have to think about it a lot more, because there's literally nobody that fucking talks about any of this shit, and it's so fucking annoying because all the tech-related people are incapable of criticizing anything related to AI or algos, and then all the other people on the other end are just fucking retards that hate all technology. But like, there's a fundamental difference between I think that there's this, it sounds similar, but there's a fundamental difference between like, I need to create content that will capture you, that will get you to watch the content. That's fundamentally different than, I need to create content that, if served to you, you will watch for as long as possible. I think those two things seem kind of similar, but I think they are like worlds apart. That like, if I mm-hmm. were to create a, if like if PewDiePie were to make a video, and I were to create a video trying to be like pretty similar to PewDiePie, and then like push that to YouTube, it would be really hard to find success there. Because it's like, okay, well, it's like the same thing I've already watched. I don't know. Why would I even watch this or whatever? But in today's environment, where it's that similar, well, if you watch a PewDiePie video, and then the next thing that's like shoved on is kind of like similar-ish to PewDiePie, you might just sit and watch the whole fucking thing. Because, yeah, it's similar to what you watch already and whatever. And it feels like that environment of like, if stuff is auto-infinitely served to you, then it's like, then the drool comes out and you just watch and watch and watch. And from a media perspective, that's like whatever, I guess. From a media perspective, it's whatever. But when I say media, I mean like art and TV shows and shit and music. But like from a news perspective, it's catastrophic.
So what yeah, do you want the front yeah. page of YouTube to look like then? Not a for you page. It's just like a...
Just rewind. Everybody asks me this question. Rewind mm-hmm. your brain 9 years. What, it was just a chronological feed of channels you were subscribed in. Maybe hot channels that you're subscribed to that have videos that are popping off or whatever. But that's it. Yeah. Like we had yeah. everything on the internet worked before. It was like, we've done the AI analysis of every single video you've ever watched in your entire life, and we've auto-compiled the script of every single new video that's ever been uploaded, and we've compared it to other people that have watched these videos, and we've compared their profile similarity view hours to your yeah, profile you similarity view hours, and we're going to go ahead and show you exactly... Yeah. We had,
and then people can watch like the top 10 list. Yeah. People can go back to like,
yes,
oh,
exactly, yeah.
I really like this video. Let me go message it to Steve. Steve,
sure,
watch
exactly.
this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. Like yeah, in the past, I mean, it yeah. used to be that like I could message somebody and say, yo, check this out. This is funny. These days, if you've ever laid next to a partner, if you've ever messaged a friend, I'm pretty sure me and Mr. Moon have probably done this in the morning, mm-hmm. and you're like, bro, check this shit out. Oh, I've already seen it. that you, yeah. you don't even, there's not even a point. You ever lay next to a partner or friend or you, whatever, and you're like, oh, look at this. Oh, no, I've already seen that. Oh, look at this. Oh, I've already seen it. Oh, look at this. I've already seen it. Because your algorithms are the same. You've already seen everything anyway. There's not even any point in you sharing the fucking content because you're laughing at the thing that you both already seen independently on your own.
Did you read Chris Hayes' book on the attention economy?
No. Claude can summarize it for me, though.
I think it's called The Siren's Call, I think it's called. But it basically draws a comparison to how labor basically got commodified with the Industrial Revolution. And there's a similar thing happening to commodifying attention now. I think you might have watched a video, like an interview with Chris Hayes. I think it was on Ezra Klein. But this idea of commodifying attention is something that's absolutely happening right now. And that's exactly what you're talking about with the feed, because the feed is like you're optimizing for like having people stumble upon your content and getting stuck rather than people searching for your content and finding it. And I think there's like a reversal of agency that's kind of terrifying for like how many hours we're like trying to optimize away from people's lives.
Yeah, I agree. Not good. Not good. Not good.
Very good. It's a pretty good book, though. It felt a little bit surface level and not much deeper than the interviews that he does, but it was all right.
I will buy it tomorrow and read the entire thing, okay? Just kidding. But thank you. I'm going to... Shut up. Hold on. This guy's trying to look at these links in order. Canadian Alberta's independence movement ramps up. Activists, Russia Today. Activists aim to collect 177,000 signatures to trigger an independence referendum, Reuters reports. Despite talks with the U.S., campaigners' goal is sovereignty, not joining the U.S., says Alberta Prosperity Project's Jeff Rath. Alberta independence is a beautiful thing. At Grok, who is Henrit Sivert? He is a proud fourth-generation Albertan, fiercely demanding sovereignty. No more Ottawa theft. Freedom for his grandkids. Tractor emoji, ox emoji, oil drum emoji.
I feel like the emojis make it a little bit more relatable and human, you know?
Warm water poured. He's real. Look at him.
He's real. Whoa. Retweet of Jeffrey Rath. Breaking. I just received a call from a Stelco employee in Hamilton, Ontario. That person advised me that he was present when Mark Carney visited the Stelco steel plant in Hamilton, Ontario on March 29th, 2026. They advised that when Mark Carney was asked what he would do in the face of an Alberta independence vote, Mark Carney replied that, quote, there will be no Alberta independence because all invoke the Emergencies Act, end quote. This was not reported by any mainstream media outlet who were present. It demonstrates that Mark Carney has zero respect for the rule of law, the Constitution of Canada, the Supreme Court of Canada, or the Parliament of Canada. This should surprise no one. Hashtag Alberta independence.
But this guy's got 38,000 posts in 2 years.
There's a bot account, 100%. Yeah, I clicked the first thing under the Russia Today fucking. Oh, look at this guy, Alberta AF. All true! Exclamation mark. Oh my. Oh, he's verified. So this guy's got to be real, right? Let's see. 20-year-old account, 64,000 posts. Alberta strong and free. Just wanted to be left alone. M-. Now no choice but to fight. Questioning science is science. Puns. Always intended. Hell yeah. From Alberta, Canada, baby. Maybe uses a VPN, but you know, who knows? Who cares? Don't care. All
who
right.
Knows?
Was there six fingers on that hand? I think there were six fingers, it looked like.
On this one?
In the banner?
No, he's smoking a fucking finger, bro. Come on.
Okay.
This is real, okay? Look at that authentic Canadian leaf. This is Alberta.
Leo.
Holy shit, this is the most fucking straight-coded thing I've ever seen in my life!
What is it to be truly Albertan?
Hell yeah.
The land remembers. Long before borders, before maps divided it.
Yeah.
This place stood on its own.
True.
Endless sky. Cold rivers. Soil that doesn't give without a fight.
Hell yeah.
Here, nothing comes easy.
Except me.
And that's the way we like it.
Hell yeah.
We don't ask for permission.
How many hands do we have here?
That's the way.
I don't even know whose hand this is supposed to be.
We like it.
Is she okay?
Just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's okay.
We don't ask for permission.
We stake our claim.
Hell yeah.
This is the land that forged oil men, ranchers, explorers.
It's a goat!
People who measure a man by what he does,
yeah,
not what he says.
Okay. That's a crazy chopper landing. There's a lot of trees there. Must be a skilled pilot.
It's not about being defiant.
Damn.
It's about being ourselves. Rooted. Resilient.
Oh.
Unruly when pushed.
Yeah.
The land remembers.
Do you think people will kind of find alternate platforms and communities? Or
no.
Do you think people are going to be mostly just like,
no,
feel like abandoning the internet altogether?
Care.
Or do you think people are going to get drawn into it and get stuck forever?
Yep. Where am I, Albertans?
How many of the DGGers are fucking bots?
So I had a friend of Alberta to say, Lameo, it's like I'm being forced to watch the bullshit I see all the time around this fucking place. Is this true? Where are my Canadians at? You guys see this everywhere? Hell yeah.
And now so do we. Who we are. What we've built.
Yeah.
And where we're going.
Yeah.
We ride straight into the storm. Because that's where the truth is.
Hell yeah.
And the truth is...
Get this Canadian flag out of here.
We've outgrown our leash.
Yeah.
You know what a social media platform I think you could actually make? Is one that, like, has no bots.
True! Let's do it! You want to make a social media platform with no bots or spam?
Let's do it, Dan.
Bro. You're a genius.
Triple as. Dan, Alberta. Figure it out.
Let's go, Dan.
The future we were
Jader.
I'm sure Musk made a promise at some point. Like, they're going to be gone in a year, probably, right? Own.
Maybe.
Yeah. We were. The future we were born to.
Is this
lead.
Like the Alberta fucking flag? I don't know what this is. I'm guessing it's the Alberta flag. Does Alberta have a flag? Alberta flag. It is kind of a cool flag, I will say, though. Dude, do we all have cool flags in the West? I feel like we have a lot of cool flags in the New World. European flags suck, bro.
Yeah, I agree. They're kind of boring.
Me when I'm drunk, European flag. Okay, I time to do the next one. Oh my god, guy. Seriously? Really?
You gotta realize these flags are fucking 5,000 years old. That was the peak of artistry back then.
True.
They only had like four colors, so.
True. Yeah, they didn't invent enough colors back then. Oh, Malay. In freedom, you can be happy or unhappy, but without freedom, unhappiness is guaranteed. Oh my god, so deep. I don't see people going from Miami to Cuba. I see people escaping from Cuba to Miami, risking their lives just to be free. We must declare the climate crisis over. The whole thing is a hoax, a complete scam to crush industry. Do you agree? Concerned Canadian. Wow. Everything I don't like must be banned. Oh, look at this guy wearing a COVID mask. Everything I do like as a human right must be paid for by others. True. Vote. Oh, Hitler himself. Unbelievable. Look at him. Unreal. Are these vehicles in the background? Are they going back? It's glitching. It's glitching. Scenes from the El Bozo Parade in Toronto.
Momentum. Canada has still fallen behind. Because Canada has been unable to attract a meaningful share of global investment.
This is the bilingual CEO of TC Energy, a Canadian company that is 30% of all natural gas in North America. Oh my God.
Wait, is bilingual like a negative word now? Or
no, that's just, it means he's super smart. Bilingual Canadian? That's crazy. Starmer fails Britain, pulls out the script. Carney fails Canada, pulls out the script. Macron fails France, pulls out the script. Dangerous world, progressive values, threats to democracy. Different country, same authors.
Oh, apparently it's a dog whistle that people are forced to speak French against their will.
Yep, they have to. The Republic of Alberta, support independence for a future that is strong and free. Oh my God. That's Mark Carney and Trudeau combined. This is every brave independent cowboy that just wants a future for his independent brave oil mining family.
You can't leave, bitch!
Eastern Canadians hate this. Feel free to post this whenever they reply to a post you made after they tell you you can't leave. Do people say Eastern Canada? Is that a thing? Is that a phrase you guys say? For like,
I have never heard this, no.
Okay. I've never heard it, but I'm in the U.S., so I've never in my life heard that before. Everybody that says yes? Bots. I remember when my fuck-ass stream tried to gaslight me for like 2 months when Donald Trump called it the fucking Middle West. And the the fuckheads in my community tried to conspire 2 weeks. Destiny, it's not technically wrong. Like, you can technically say Middle West. Never in my 30 years of Lena Raskin have I ever heard somebody say the Middle West in my entire fucking life. Never, ever, ever. And these fuckheads in my chat, the Middle West, unbelievable.
It's probably Russian bots.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's like a warm water port type of situation.
Unbelievable. The left picture is Japan 80 years after two nukes. The right is Cuba after 66 years of communism. The only thing more dangerous than nukes is leftist governments.
Hold on, retweet that.
I just are retweeting all of these. Sorry, fuck me. Okay, what was your second link? Jesus Christ. The wild claims of Jeff Rath, a separatist firebrand. The free-swinging Alberta Prosperity Project leader is caught on video spouting conspiracy theories and profanities. No way, really? With appearances on Fox and Friends and many mostly far-right U.S. and Canadian podcasts, larger-than-life lawyer Jeffrey Rath has emerged as the cowboy-hatted figurehead for the Alberta Prosperity Project, or APP. And he even wears a goddamn cowboy hat. How could you be more authentic than this? Those fucking truckers, by the way, that were fucking driving their dumbass trucks and trying to clog up the entire Pacific Northwest over COVID masks, also guarantee you those motherfuckers were all, half of those motherfuckers were Russian funded. Guaranteed. Garen fucking top lane. Let's go. Spin to win.
Oh, you want to cue it up?
What does Alberta sovereignty mean? Alberta, a land of untapped potential and resilient spirit. Today we stand at a crossroads facing a future where our province's destiny is in our hands. Name drop. This is our story. Our path to sovereignty and prosperity. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, sovereignty signifies freedom from external control. The fuck is this retarded show? Oh, is this there? This is the Alberta Prosperity Project's website. Nice.
To make Canada the 51st state, and a group in Alberta is apparently on board. Jeffrey Rath is leading that group, a lawyer from Alberta. He has that delegation behind him. Jeff, how big is your delegation? Tell me the feeling you are joining America.
Hundreds of Albertans that are reaching out and volunteering to join our delegation. Right now, our group is very small. It's a steering committee of people that are looking to come to Washington on an exploratory basis and meet with a representative appointed by President Trump.
Is he being held hostage right now? What the fuck?
Explore the benefits of either Alberta becoming an independent sovereign nation with economic union of the United States, becoming a U.S. territory, or becoming or pursuing full statehood.
How is Canada lost their way? How is Canada lost their way that you think you got to do it?
Trudeau and Carney, are all wringing their hands over...
Fox plays all these... We can't survive this.
Tariffs. They're going to be kicking Albertans in the teeth and bringing in a 21% carbon tax increase in April. This is, the carbon tax itself is just an insult to hardworking Albertans that can't afford to heat their homes and can't afford diesel and gas for their cars and trucks to go to work. That's a big part of why it is that...
what is he looking up? What the fuck is he looking over on the side for?
Like reading, a script.
Jesus Christ!
People in Alberta are fed up with being governed by idiotic politicians from Quebec and Ontario that do not understand our province and do not understand that culturally we're far more closely affiliated with our friends to the south in Montana than we are with all of the people in Ottawa wringing their hands over the smell of diesel exhaust when people from Alberta come to protest how badly we're being treated by Ottawa.
What's your message to Donald Trump? 10 seconds.
10 seconds. Greenland self-determination. Please support Alberta self-determination. You promise that to Alberta the same way you promised it to Greenland. We'll be an excellent partner to the United States and we'll all prosper.
All right. Let's see how big your delegation gets, Jeff, how many calls you get, and maybe, Jeff, you will be governor of our 51st state when it's all said and done.
Oh, good one. You fucked this link up. Same Caleb talking points. Okay. Let's end with a nice call to why we shouldn't talk about politics, I guess. What is this?
Based on this conversation, talking to you two, I probably sound like the most conservative person that has ever existed in the history of this world because you guys are so far gone. But no one knows my politics. I'm a fucking ambiguous.
So you're a hypocrite.
Hypocrite.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You say one thing and then you change your mind the next week.
I will always be willing to change my mind if new information comes out or if I learn new things. Not to do so would be a literal infant. You're talking about hypocrite. It's okay to change your opinion, yes, because you want to be correct, but you're not correct by just sitting there and being like, I'm correct. You're correct when the data, facts, whatever is in your side.
Wait, you understand that, like, I know I can't make you understand this, but like, we've watched, like, that was like one, that was like a shard of like a single script that's probably gone to thousands, if not tens of thousands of channels. On just like 1% of like 1% of all this shit. This is our entire ecosystem is shaped by all of this type of shit. And if it's not the ecosystem that's shaped by this, it could be people that watch stuff that become shaped by that ecosystem that then become reinforcing of said ecosystem. I'm sure that if we were to go through videos like that, we could find propaganda talking points that Kyle Kulinski ends up repeating. That like I know I alluded to it earlier, but I know that that Israel-Palestine propaganda shit gets pushed by these motherfuckers too. Because nobody over at fucking Russia, China gives a fuck about Israel-Palestine, but it is the perfect divider mindfuck issue for the West. And again, look at the goals. Here's what you should be suspect of. It can't be an auto no. You can't automatically say, well, this guy hates America. Oh, this guy's evil. Or this guy's propaganda. But if it just so happens that every single goal that a person has is to weaken the West and it will always benefit the adversaries of the United States or the West, that should just at least like give you pause, okay? Should at least give you pause. Like if somebody comes up to you and they start talking shit on a friend of yours, it might be true, but like if it's a friend, like, hold on. Well, let's just like make sure. Okay, hold on. Okay. That's my boy. Are you sure? Did he really do this? Really? So when you look at like what are the asks for Israel-Palestine, right? It's never peace between Israel and Palestine. The two-state solution has been abandoned. It's never pressure Israel to bring them more in line with what we consider more righteous, right? It's never, 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 never any of these asks. It's abandon Israel, abandon Saudi Arabia, abandon the Middle East. Why? Well, if the U.S. retreats from that sphere, right, who enters, right? Russia or China or, I don't know, chaos or some other actor, Qatar, I don't know. It's not the United States anymore, right? Every single ask, if you look at all of the major policy asks for people like Hassan, for all of your Marxist-Leninists, for all of your MAGA people, every single ask is to make America or to make the West a weaker, less cohesive body of things, right? Can you believe that Kamala wanted us to have a lethal military? No, we got to get rid of all that's. We can't have a strong military. Why? You don't want a strong military? What the fuck do you have a military? That's like having a dull steak knife. If you're going to have a knife, it should be sharp. What a stupid thing to say, right? Or we have to abandon all of our allies. We got to get rid of all the globalism. We got to get rid of all of the corporations and all of our large companies and everything. All of it's evil. All of it's bad. All of it's terrible. It's like, well, we're not proposing any alternatives to anything. It's just attack, 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 and destroy, destroy, destroy. It's not, I'm just saying, you know. I don't know. Yeah, and then imagine like how much more difficult it is to fight against all these slop talking points when it's not coming from outside channels and it's not just coming from English speakers from neighboring countries and it's not just coming from English speakers in your own countries. And it's not just coming from politicians in your own countries, but now it's coming from political figures that other people are forcing you to accept into your movement, despite the fact that they are openly talking about their desire to subvert and destroy your entire political movement for the benefit of their ideological thing. That would also be, by the way, in complete and total alignment with the goal of every foreign adversary to the United States, right? Again, remember, not to make myself a part of this, you can put anyone else in, right? But like Hassan has never been demonetized. Hassan has never been deplatformed. None of these people are generally ever, or none of these people are genuinely or significantly attacked by MAGA, by the right, by China or Russia or Qatar. You never see propaganda related to these people that's like significantly harmful to their careers. They're always just used as vectors to attack the rest of the Democratic Party. Every single time. Where is fucking that dumb fuck Morbler at? Where he's like, wow, Destiny, looks like the heat's really ramping up on Hassan. Looks like they actually are attacking him. Meanwhile, Hassan on his stream, you Asian fuck, why don't you go do some math, you little dick motherfucker, and go cry to your fucking parents while you'd overachieve. Like, holy shit, not a care in the world. Like, the biggest problem with all this stuff, I'm sorry, I'm done. I'm almost done. The biggest problem with all of this stuff, you have to understand too, is that like, this is why you always feel like it's a gaslight too, okay? The conspiracy works like this, to where the whole thing, like, this is the conspiracy. It's the whole thing, okay? All of it is like part of the conspiracy, but the way that it actually works is like, this is the conspiracy right here. And then all the other people kind of like end up going along with it because it seems whatever. Remember how I would say like you've got like your tier one propagandists and then like your, I call them the believers, your tier two believers, is that a lot of the people out here, like the majority of, I'll use Asana as an example again, the majority of Hassan fans, the vast majority of MAGA are not foreign propagandists. I don't even know about the people on Fox News 100%. I don't know if they realize that they're like foreign propagandists that are committed to the destruction of this country and the Western world order. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not sure. But all of them can move because of a little bit of rocking up here. And because they do, they will identify genuine talking points, you know? It's like when you have that like one friend in a group who's like super manipulative, like they don't go to every single friend. Like if you ever have like a real fuck, I don't know how many of you guys know toxic people. If you, like, you never have a group of people where there's one person and it's like, I need everybody to fucking hate John, okay? You never have, this toxic friend never goes to every person in the group and goes, John, we got to get rid of him. We got to get rid of John. Fuck John. Fuck this piece of shit, okay? Fuck John. We got to get rid of this motherfucker. They never go after John that way, right? They never go after John that way, okay? And so if you're clever, right? If you're clever, you're thinking, okay, well, what do they actually do, right? They go to the person and say, whoa, I think John might not be okay. I think John might, no. They don't even say that. They don't even say shit like that. It'll just be offhand shit like, I think your car is like really cool or whatever. Yeah, I remember talking to John the other day. He said it was like shit or whatever. I defended it. I was like, well, what do you mean? Like, this car is like so cool. It's like the smallest little stupid fucking planting the seeds shit like this. And like just one person in a friend group. And if you've ever had one of these people, you've known them. Just one person in a group can make everything so toxic and fucking horrible. It's easier today on the internet. It was harder to do a long time ago because in real life, friend groups tend to audit friend groups more. Like you can't have crazy people around for too long because they just don't survive the friend group long. But online, you can like hide a lot more weird behavior. But yeah, it's just a lot of propagandists don't even know they are. But at the end of the day, what we really have to remember, I think I'm at 91%. Oh my fucking God. Where are we? Hold on. 90%. Okay. 90% completion. God. God damn. Based. Be careful.
Remember to hit that like and subscribe, and don't forget the notification bell so that my videos show.